Thing buddies
Blog
will always love talking
radio.
With a great Matt and Flash. Here we go, ladies and gerbils. Tell that Matthew to get on it.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you.
Due to repairs, we're giving you advance notice that your service will be cut off indefinitely at 10 o'clock. That's 2 minutes from now.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You have dial a dirty joke. A chicken is standing on a corner.
Yes, it is. It is indeed in a somber opening for Clobberin' Time, indeed, because we are sitting here paying tribute to the great James Garner, and I can think of no better way of doing that, my friend Flash, than a little bit of Rockford. What do you think?
Yeah, that was one of those the most original openings ever of any TV show. Like every week, the recording would be different.
Yes. And yeah. Someone went on YouTube and put all of the messages from each season. and there were one, like you said, every episode there was a different one. I'm pretty sure everyone there was. Actually, there was definitely a different one in every episode.
Yeah.
But in syndication, early on, when I started watching those in syndication, at late at night, sometimes they screwed around with it and played the same message. Which was weird, but James Garner, man, we touched on it just for a few minutes the other night with my retro blasting buddies, and thank you everyone here for being here for Clobbering Time issue number 493. That's right, 492 times I've gotten away with it. We'll try to get away with it one more. We're going to get to 500 soon, and you know what, Flash, pretty soon I'm going to start thinking about what to do for that.
Oh, 500, man.
Yeah, I'll bounce some ideas off of you in a second for that, but you know, Mr. Garner, my great Retro Blasting buddies with me the other night, and again, thank you, Retro Blasting buddies, Michael and Melinda. I'm so good at getting sidetracked, but thank you guys. Tuesday night, we had a lot of fun talking about Star Wars Episode 7 story leaks and rumors to the Internet. Check that out for anyone who has not heard that one already. It was great fun, but we mentioned Mr. Garner and a little bit, but didn't get a chance to go too far into it. We were doing other things. However, they were big fans as well. And I got to tell you, Flash, when I think of the greatest actor, I mean, obviously he was in films, and he was in one of my all-time favorite films, The Great Escape, and some other ones. When I think of the greatest TV actors, when I put someone at the top, I'm hard-pressed to find one greater than James Garner, just for me personally. I don't know about you.
No, I was a fan. Yeah, I was a fan. He had this persona of a really nice guy who could kick your ass if he had to.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And get his ass kicked, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, which was what was great about the opening of the Rockford Files that we were just talking about. It just shows, you know, just through the use of those phone messages, this guy's life is a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's an absolute train wreck. Not Mr. Perfect. You know, Rockford was not Mr. Perfect. You know,
he got his ass kicked all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. But that was what was great about the show.
And one
he wasn't bulletproof.
Remember when he would that one where he was picking up his teeth off?
No.
Literally, there was an episode where he got the crap kicked out of him by a couple of, you know, gorillas as usual. And then, you know, they're walking off. And, you know, he's looking, just in the dark at night, and he's, like, looking on the ground for his teeth a couple times, you know.
No, I don't remember that.
You know, I it's so embarrassing for me to admit this. That's why I don't admit it very often on the show. But I live in a clunky old tin can trailer type thingy. Like, and Rockford is the only reason I could even remotely feel good about it. Look at that old dump he lived in. Right there on the beach, though. If you're going to live in one, that's the place.
You want to be on the beach.
Right there. I mean, yeah, Rockford had it, and he had the cool, you know, one of the coolest cars ever. That Firebird was badass, which he destroyed. It was always hilarious. He destroyed that thing a number of times, and just the next episode, it was there.
He had a hell of an insurance company.
He did. Look, on the show, they actually did do that a lot of times. They actually talked about that, chronicled that. Like, when Jim, look, you keep destroying this damn thing, and he always had a lot. He was always broke. He was always getting beat up. He was always having troubles. And the stories on the Rockford Files, that's my favorite Garner show, but I did love Maverick. And I love this film, The Great Escape. And then I love The Skin Game and Support Your Local Sheriff. He was great in so many things. But Rockford's my favorite. Probably. Just the other day when I heard about this, and again, he lived to 86 and led a great life, and I'm glad about that. But it was a bummer, and I went and watched about three or four episodes of Rockford, you know, just in a row, and then watched The Maverick. You watch him, and yeah, this cool confidence about him. I don't know how to describe it other than you watch him and you go, he's not acting, he's just being.
No, because he always, and this is not an insult, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, he always kind of played the same guy himself.
He kind of did, but not in all of his films.
Like John Wayne. John Wayne was that way too.
But he kind of did, and they say Shatner sort of like that, but he did in all of, not in all of his films, a few times he didn't, but there are more subtle differences than anything else. But because, for example, Rockford and Maverick are not, they're pretty similar. Rockford and Maverick are very similar, but his character, the Scrounger from The Great Escape, is not exactly like him, although he was much younger. Then on Rockford, they used to reference how, you know, it's funny, on Rockford, which was like 10, 15 years after The Great Escape, they used to talk about how, you know, in the war, of course it was Korea, though, in this case, that Rockford was a scrounger. In other words, he did the same things that his character, the scrounger, did in The Great Escape.
Did not know that.
Yeah, and he was, I mean, yeah, I guess he did kind of play the same character sometimes. And it always, I guess it was, I don't know what it was about that. Yeah, you didn't see him play too many different variants,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And you didn't need to either, so.
No, he had a career out of it. That's fine. Nothing wrong
yep.
with that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. But anyway, it's a bummer. I mean, I used to watch that show with my dad. That's one of those shows for some reason. And I don't know exactly why, but my dad is still with us, of course. But, I mean, I just think of my dad when I think of that show. Because, first of all, he was similar in build and even face to Rockford. And he and I used to watch it. And he used to, this is the 70s, as you know, he used to wear those same jackets that Rockford did all the time. Those, you know, those, what would you call those things? Those, I don't know if they were tweed or whatever they were.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he always kind of reminded me of Rockford. And, of course, it was a show I just remember watching with my dad a lot when it first came on. And then, of course, for a while on the local channel here, we get MASH, Rockford, then Star Trek.
So your night was set.
Yeah. I mean, for years. Yeah. So, look, and, of course, I'd watch, you know, again, right after the news. You know that block, you know, right after the 10 o'clock news, 10:30,
yeah.
10:35. Again, MASH, and then 2 hours, you know, Rockford, then Trek. Perfect.
That was the greatest block after the news.
Yeah.
I think that's everywhere. In the 70s, that was the...
Did you have that block, too?
The greatest block. No, we had a completely separate block. MASH was kind of a staple. Rockford Files, for some reason, not so much. It just never really seemed to play on the blocks around here. In the 70s, as you know, we didn't have, you know, 300 channels like you do now. You had your networks, and you had a couple of locals and, you know, things like that. We had a station out of Pittsburgh called WPGH, which on Saturdays, that was a lock for me. Saturday was pretty much all day on WPGH. You would have things like Wild Wild West, and then Land of the Giants, and then Star Trek, and then a movie usually, and then 10 o'clock you'd get Benny Hill.
Mm.
10:30 you would get SCTV. This was Saturdays mostly, and then I'd have to switch channels to Chiller Theater, which Charlie knows all about. But the Rockford Files, it was hard to catch for some reason. I mean, I pretty much only saw it. Yeah, I pretty much only saw it when it first aired in the 70s.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was odd. It was weird.
I remember those old green copies, and what I mean by that is they were MASH, Rockford, and Trek at that point. I guess these were really, really, you know, of course, as you know, TV was different back then anyway. It's mm-hmm. like the resolution we have now. At some point, not literally green, but they were kind of faded. And at some point, it was like those old episodes started really looking kind of like they've been aired a lot.
Kind of shabby, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Rockford must have run through, I don't know how many times. It was really only, there were only five seasons of the show. And maybe like four and a half, five and a half, something. No, not five and a half, like four and a half. Something like that, but five roughly. And then I over and over again. You know, I mean, I'm sure you've watched Trek over and over, like I have.
Yeah, ad nauseum, yeah.
Yeah, there are a few shows, there are a lot of shows I love. We talk about a lot of shows we love. There are a few shows that I love, and that even though I love them, I haven't watched them, like, the episodes zillions of times over and over again. It doesn't mean I don't love them, it just, for whatever reason, maybe they were later in life when you didn't have as much time. I don't know what it was, but it just, maybe it was, you know, television is different now because there's so many choices in spite of there not being much to watch. In other words, there's so much out there.
Exactly.
But there was a time, I mean, look, most of us who are rabid Trek fans have watched episodes zillions and zillions of times. I mean, certain ones, I mean, in the double, some people with triple digits, but then there are other shows, you like them a lot, just didn't really, I used to watch that, and you caught it on network maybe or something. But as you know, a lot of things used to syndicate at night like that. I mean, so their first three seasons of MASH in particular, Rockford is one. Again, their episodes I've probably seen well. I mean, not quite on the Star Trek level, but very close. I've seen them all so many times. And yet, I can still pop one in there and just enjoy it. The stories on Rockford were always kind of like people used to talk about it. To me, it's the greatest PI show ever. People used to talk about it like, you know, the stories were kind of, you know, it's funny, as simplistic as the character was and as great as the character was, and it was so much about character development, they had some very sophisticated and complex stories on that show, especially for its time.
So. I remember my dad not so much, but I remember my grandparents were big fans of the private detective genre that was so heavy in the 70s. And Rockford was on, and
right.
Oh gosh, geez, you had Barnaby Jones, and you had it was always a detective show.
it was right when the westerns had died out. It became detective shows.
Wasn't my niche. You know what I mean? I would usually go find something else to do, but occasionally I would sit down and watch a few. And it was usually either Rockford or oddly enough Barnaby Jones and MacLeod.
McCloud, good old McCloud. That didn't last that long either, but it was the NBC mystery movie.
Yeah, they just kind of rotated, kind of the first syndication. you never knew what you were going to get this week.
McMillan and Wife. And,
The Private Eyes were everywhere in the 70s. Unfortunately, it just wasn't my genre, but I did like James Garner, and I did like Support Your Local Sheriff and things like that. But
they took over for Westerns, the PI.
I guess they were inexpensive. Yeah, probably inexpensive.
They were a little bit cheaper, but then there was Mannix. Mannix I thought was cool.
Easy to produce, probably.
Right. So anyway, I love James Garner. I love Support Your Local Sheriff. And have you ever seen The Skin Game? To see that. I mean, if you like Sheriff.
I don't even think I've heard of it.
Really?
Let me tell you how
anti-PC this thing is. They still do show it sometimes. I'm surprised, actually. However, it was a film where it takes place right around the time. I think it's a little bit before the Civil War. And James Garner and Lou Gossett Jr., basically, they're con men. And there are certain states where slavery is still legal. He takes Gossett around and sells him as a slave. Then of course he escapes and they run off and they keep the money. That's called The Skin Game.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Same director.
Never heard of that.
Same director as Support Your Local Sheriff. Hilarious. It's one of my favorite
Holy
films.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll check that out,
dude. He and Gossett are just terrific in this film. Ed Asner is a baddie in it, and I love it. And I guess it doesn't get the same kind of as much of play as Sheriff, or even Support Your Local Gunfighter, because, I don't know, maybe that it's that theme, I don't know. I mean, it's not, it's just a little,
probably a little touchy now.
It is, but, I mean, it doesn't really, it's not insensitive. It's just, I mean, these guys, Gossett's brilliant in the thing. He's a Eastern con man. He was born free. He was not born a slave, but there were still slaves in certain parts of the country, as you know, in certain states. And they're two, con men. And he sells, it opens up. It's pretty somber. He's like, he's taking him into this town, selling his, quote unquote, his slave. And then, of course, it's a pretty funny scene and pretty, this is a pretty dark, serious movie. Then, of course, what's his name? Gossett escapes and they get away and they're laughing their asses off all the money they're going around conning people out of. Great film. Love it.
Heard of it.
If you ever get a chance to see The Skin Game, James Garner, Lou Gossett Jr., you will really enjoy it if you like to support your local sheriff.
I've checked that out.
Very cool film. But anyway, Mr. Garner, I think my favorite movie of his, of course, and it was an ensemble, but it was The Great Escape, one of my favorites. So, and Maverick, great show. And where is that Matthew boy, anyway?
I'm not sure.
You know, the greatest American hero, Rick. There you go, bro. Oh, yeah. There you go. You've seen the Skin Game, have you, Rick? There you go. Yeah, you know what? Actually, the Western Encore Western, I was just flipping the other day, and it was actually on there. I have the DVD, but it was on there, and I was a little shocked because, you know, they don't really play Blazing Saddles much anymore, and we know why.
Yeah.
It actually gets censored on TNT when they do show it. In fact, was it Best Buy had, like, they had an anniversary DVD of it, and Quad was telling me that he had trouble finding it. Different times. There's Matthew. Where you at, man? Yes, they are very. Because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
Of course not.
No. Now I want to bounce it off of you a little bit. By the way, I want to tell everyone thank you for being here in the archives. Oh, you know what? I forgot to announce my Tuesday show next Tuesday night. For those of you who are not familiar with it, the extraordinary Ross Purcell. Ross, I hope I'm saying your name right. I guess I'll have to ask you Tuesday night. Runs the Super Team Family blog, Super Team Family: The Lost Issues. Now,
that's awesome.
Yeah, you know that blog. I know
that blog,
and I know Matthew knows it. This chap makes. When it started out, it was Brave and the Bold covers. You know the old 70s Brave and the Bold book, Batman came in. And it was Batman teaming up with Marvel characters and other, you know, characters from other, genres. And it was just fun to look at. They're like wish fulfillment covers. You're like, wow, that's a team up that would be so cool. You'll never see it, but it's fun seeing that cover.
Right.
And I love it. And then eventually he did tons of those. And he made it Marvel 2-in-1. And it was the Thing teaming, you know, just, again, same deal, which I thought was really cool and really enjoyed it. And then... He did a whole bunch of those, and then he just decided, well, he just changed it, because for those of you who don't remember, in the 70s, there was a book called Super Team Family, which was sort of like a mix that would have different characters, you know, from all over the place kind of teaming up. And so he changed it to that, Super Team Family, The Lost Issues. And as you've seen me post those before, I'm sure, Gary.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, they're so much fun, man. I mean,
they are.
Crazy.
They are.
You get to see so many. I mean, he really does them. He does them very regularly.
And they're so convincing.
Yeah. And some of them are so out there, you're like, they just make you chuckle. You go, there's just no way. And some of them, no, that wouldn't even happen. And you go, yeah, but it's just funny. And it's just
but
fun
I would
to
read
see.
It.
I'd read it.
I'd read it.
Yeah. and by the way, some of them are, again, some are that. They're like, oh, my God, that's just out there. But it's still funny. And then other ones are like, that could happen, even though it's a Marvel or DC. That would be a great one.
Yeah.
You know, Justice League Avengers is one he does. Of course, that actually happened. But, I mean, he would do, I mean, like, you know, you'd see, like, Batman, Daredevil. Did he do Batman, Daredevil? I don't know. Batman, Moon, everything. It would take 3 hours just to name every one of them. I mean, it would take more than that because he's got tons of them. But we're going to have Ross on the show.
Oh, cool.
Next Tuesday night, because I've always wanted to talk to him. I just want to basically, you know, get in there. I'm not going to ask him any of his trade secrets because I guess it's obviously just Photoshop or whatever they use for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, you know, ask him something about his thought processes, and, you know, he really has a whole lot of fun with it. So, Ross Purcell, and I hope I'm saying it right, sir, Super Team Family, The Lost Issues, by guest next Tuesday night on Globerun Time. So, now, did Matthew pop in yet? Matthew, where you at, bro? I see you in the chat room. Don't be shy.
Little prick.
Yeah, you little, well, we can't call him names, can we?
I can't.
Yeah, yes, you can.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, shit. Well, I never call you names, Matt. I just rag on you for liking things that make me crazy sometimes. But, you know, yeah, for example, and that, well, I'll wait till he gets here to talk about some of the stuff there. The Comic-Con is going on.
Yeah.
And actually, I got a buddy of mine that's there now. He may end up calling in. He's going to try to call, but he's probably. I don't think he's going to be able to make it. But he'll like at least text me or some updates. But we've seen some updates already. Did you know that they put a picture of Batfleck out? I mean, that's a big deal going on right now. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I know Matthew's just going nutty over that one, aren't you, Matt?
He is. He is.
Yeah. He loves that. But again, of course, Saturday I think is the big announcement day. That's where they announce all kind of crap, and they're probably going to, you know, how far How far along can they even be on that stupid movie right now anyway?
I would imagine not very far at all.
Yeah. And, you know, there's another thing about Comic-Con that is really kind of annoying. They probably, you know, that far, that short, you know, they're really that not that far along. And they will film specific crap just so they can show the Comic-Con audience.
Right.
You know they do that.
Sure.
Oh, man, you know, now Rick and Matt are really getting on my bad side. Dude, that Arsenal looks like poo-poo because it's on Arrow. And by the way, Matthew, what's wrong with you? I'm surprised at you. You're such a Roy Harper fan. How can you like that damn Arsenal? I hate when they call them Arsenal. What's wrong with you, boy? He's I don't mind him being Red Arrow, strangely enough. I don't mind that. Or Speedy. I know Speedy is a stupid name, and everyone likes to make fun of that, I guess, right?
Well, the problem is they've already used the name Speedy on there, so you're kind of screwed on it.
Oh, they did, huh? Well, no.
Yes, that was his nickname for his sister on the show.
Oh, well, there you go. So is Arsenal. Couldn't be Red Arrow because there's not even Green Arrow on the show. Never mind, Matt, but still. Jesus, dude, Arsenal? Ugh, I can't stand that. You know why I can't stand it? You know why I hate that name?
Why?
Because it reminds me of the there was sort of a weird type of trend in the 90s. I think this is kind of 90s-ish, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when they started coming out with some of the newer superheroes, a lot of the writers at that point were said, well, you know what? Superheroes with the name this man or this woman or that girl or this lad, that's silly. They started shortening the names of superheroes because they thought it was cooler somehow, like Livewire or... they started doing that in the crappy faux legion of the 90s where they couldn't have, you know, this lass or that lass or this lad or that lad or this boy. It had to be, they had to, you know, change them to like these one word titles. And it was just sort of this kind of pretentious. I said, yes, those are all silly names. We're talking about silly concepts of superheroes anyway. And Arsenal just kind of reeked of that for me. I'm like, yeah, really? Look, that's what Arrow does too, by the way. Arrow. Fucking Green Arrow, man. Shit. I mean, seriously, look, I love these. You know, Batman's fantastic, and he's called Batman. I mean, Bat would be stupid. Bat. It's Bat.
I have a weird story about Batman.
Well, this is 75th, so we're always celebrating.
While,
go ahead.
While you're talking about names, my niece absolutely blows her gasket, absolutely flips her lid. When you say the Batman, it's like a pet peeve with her. I don't know what it is because she's not familiar with the comics so much, right?
What name? She doesn't like...
When you say the Batman.
Oh, the Batman? Batman.
You say the Batman. Loses her mind. It's like a personal insult.
Wow. Lizzie Johnson. Lizzie, great to see you there. Well, you know what? We're that bad, huh?
Yeah, it's so weird. I'm like, what's your problem? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. It just bugs me. Because
I mean, in a certain
she context. Heard it. She uh-huh. heard it a lot in the Nolan movies. They use that.
Oh, yeah.
Movies, they say the Batman, and which I actually preferred.
I like
when he's called the Batman.
I do.
So every once in a while, I'll drop that bomb in front of her and just pisses her off.
Well, see, there's a certain context to it. It kind of, in other words, obviously everyone's a Batman. I mean, they should call him Batman. But once in a while, yeah, I'm kind of like that too. Called the Batman, this and the Bat. I don't know. I don't see how that bothers anybody. But I guess
I don't either. I don't either, but she has a real aversion to eating like chicken off the bone and everything, so she's weird anyway.
Yeah. Well, I just had that.
But I love her.
Well, we got to love her anyway. But I've just had the big fight over chicken. My mom made a bunch of chicken. It was all dark meat. And I friggin' hate him. My son telling me how insane I am because dark meat's so much better than white meat. I said, you crazy? You ever have those kind of dumb arguments with Matt, by the way?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad I'm not the only one.
And the wife.
Like, you know, just because dark meat sucks. Ugh, God, I hate it. I don't know. But again, you know, what could you, it's so stupid. We were having that dumb argument, and I was like, really? What an idiot. What an idiot I am for having that dumb argument, actually.
Dumb arguments are great. I love dumb arguments.
Well, yes. You can't, you know. Matt, where are you at, man? Come on, dude. You hiding from us or what? That's all right. Because I was going to bounce off of you a second there, Flash. I've got Clobbering Time number 500 coming up.
Yeah, that's...
What am I going to do?
Hmm.
I was thinking, I was talking to my retro blasting buddies about this. the other night, and I was thinking, well, it's such a dumb idea, but every you know, 100 landmark issue, I always do something. Let's see, for number 400, we did my second Big Jack Kirby tribute, I think. Mm-hmm. For number 300, I think it was it four, three or four, Tex and I, we decided to see how many people we could alienate with Texas fan definitions.
Yeah.
This was a tested alienation. Two, I don't know, it might have been a Kirby. I don't know if that, what that was. I can't even see, I can't even remember.
Kirby.
Might have been also a Kirby one. Might have been the Kirby was, first one, yes. And I don't remember number 100. It was so long ago. But here we are, collect special. So, oh, there he is. There's Matthew.
Well, well, well.
Well, about time. There you are, Matthew. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Yes, what's up?
Good. All right, man. And so I was thinking for my number 500, again, I couldn't think of anything in particular to do. And you got to do something that's 500. So I was thinking, should that be the big Batman celebration thingy? For example, this is 493 tonight, and I got 494 and 495 on the way. I'm not sure when that's going to – when I'll hit five, though. It's a month or two away.
Yeah.
You think just do that then or
– yeah.
Because I was thinking, wait a minute. How many comic book series do you know, by the way, that actually made it to number 500? I can name you two. I can name you three.
Yeah.
Can you name any other ones?
Ones like Action Comics.
Action, Adventure,
Detective,
and Detective.
Adventure.
Detective. Actually, Batman.
Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah.
Did Amazing Spider-Man get to five?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it did? Wow.
Made it to 700.
It made it to 700?
Made it to 700, yeah.
Was it 700?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, remember, Superman would have had a chance to make it to, like, 1,000, but they decided not to do that, so.
Yeah.
But I started thinking about some of those. There was a time, though, when Action Comics did it and Detective Comics did it, that was a big deal. We were like, wow. I don't know, did either one of you buy that one? I know you were old enough to buy that, one of those, when they came out, Flash, did you?
Which one?
I know you probably wouldn't have got Action 500.
500? Detective 500?
Yeah, but Detective 500.
I had Detective 500, yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking, maybe doing something like that, the other landmark issues, or just the Batman thing in general. What do you guys think?
Combine them both. Be nutty. Be crazy.
Because I've been talking for the longest time about doing a Batman tribute thing. It's the year of the Bat.
Why not 500? Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be... Yeah, Sclavern Time 500, the Bat. I don't know. It could be something like... Yeah, it might happen. I still have a little ways to... A little ways to go to find out.
Rick thinks you should do a tribute to the greatest director of all time, J.J. Abrams.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's just mean. We all know he's the second greatest after Michael Bay.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That's true.
Lizzie, by the way, Lizzie, it's lovely to see this, our good friend Lizzie, right?
Yeah.
It's been a while there. We're going to have to, I want to get her back on to do a show. We've got to think of an excuse to get Lizzie to come back on. So that's your job.
To be around is good.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. So that's your mission, should you choose to accept it, Matt.
Will it self-destruct in 5 seconds?
Well, I'll probably self-destruct in 5 seconds. Well, I did that years ago. Why not? But it was a lot of fun doing shows with her.
Yeah.
And getting, by the way, I remember Flash. It was funny when Lizzie and Matthew and I we did our best, our favorite movies listed in our worst, right?
I heard that.
Yeah.
What was funny to me? Did you know, Flash, that there was one on there was one that was on Lizzie's best list that was on Matt's worst list.
Which one was that? I don't remember.
I remember. Should I say it?
It was
Eternals.
Yeah, Eternal Sunshine.
Oh,
right.
That's right. That's right.
But when you think about that, that's fairly unique, I would say, because that's unique because I don't think that ever happened. In other words, I don't think there was anything on my most hated list.
Right.
I mean, there might have been one other. Let's see. You didn't have Man of Steel on your best list, did you? There, Matthew.
No.
Okay. Larry. So if you had, that would have. But other than that, that's weird, huh? That's
Yeah. Well, we actually watched it together at the same time, and then after it was over, I was like, ugh.
Oh, really? What, the Eternal Sunshine?
Yeah.
I remember. That just struck me as funny that, you know, it gets one thing, like if, for example, if one of us to put one on our worst list or our best list and go, you like that? Or, really, you didn't like that one? I thought it was pretty good. But for those to be that, you know, the opinions to be that disparate, that's yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's, now, again, I kind of like that movie. What's wrong with me, Matt? Was I being a girl for liking it? What's the deal?
Yeah, you're being a chick for liking it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Charlie Kaufman, though. I kind of like his weird script.
Yeah.
But you really did not like that. You just don't like Jim Carrey.
I did not
enjoy
it.
You probably just don't like Jim Carrey, but who does?
No, I love Jim Carrey. That's a reason to hate him, though, I guess.
Well, I got a lot of other reasons now, but yeah, that's a... Anyway, that was pretty funny. I just thought, let's see. Oh, did you... Snowpiercer. Now, I think...
Oh.
Let's see. Tell how much you hated Snowpiercer. Tell me about it. Tell me about Snowpiercer, because that's just a dumb title anyway, isn't it?
I didn't hate Snowpiercer, though. She's got this in her mind that I hated it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was... I think it's the worst Captain America movie ever, because Chris Evans is this thing. He doesn't throw the shield one time. It's horrible.
Oh, that's how could he not throw a shield in a movie?
Yeah. And there was no Scarlett Johansson, so it's just,
She's in it, too?
No, there was no Scarlett Johansson. That's the
problem. Oh, no, I thought you said there. Okay. So what is that movie? I've seen a couple of pictures online. I know nothing about it.
It's basically, it's a rebellion in a train, if you can get your head around that.
Ah.
It's got interesting ideas. I mean, I think it's got some really compelling ideas, but on the whole, it just didn't play for me.
Ever since Super Train, I don't know if you can do anything worse than that.
Super Train.
Involving a train. You know Super Train, don't you?
I remember Super Train.
What, two episodes, maybe?
Both of them. I remember both episodes.
Fred Silverman, that was the thing that cost him his job.
Oh, Freddie.
Remember him?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. But, yeah, Super Train. So after that, I'm not sure you could make something worse with a train, but,
Wasn't Super Train essentially Love Boat on a train?
Yes. Okay. It was like a goddamn train.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it was late 70s.
Yeah, it was one of the most colossal flops in television history. It cost a fortune.
And it cost Fred Silverman his job.
It cost a fortune, and it was essentially, like we said, Love Boat on a train.
Right. Why would it cost so much, though? A boat on a train.
There's a question.
The train was nothing but a special effect. The train didn't exist.
Okay.
So, I guess. It was such a disaster. It cost Fred Silverman his job at NBC.
I'm not even sure how many episodes aired. Like,
I think it was two.
Maybe two. And they didn't make many.
No.
But they didn't all air.
Because it was very expensive.
Yeah. It's just this idiot Silverman had been put in charge of NBC, and NBC was just getting their clock cleaned all the time at that point. That was when NBC was, I mean, for a long time, if you remember back then, they were the pits. They were always a joke. Everyone made fun of it. They could not get a rating to save their lives. And Love Boat was big at the time. So, hey, we'll just do Love Boat on a train.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah, Matt was asking, how could it be so expensive? Well, I've often wondered, they always said the original Battlestar Galactica was cost prohibitive. They said it was too expensive. And I'm like, how could it be too expensive? You use the same three shots over and over and over again. Remember how they would sometimes flip the picture to make it look like, oh, now it's shot from that side. And I'm just like, how could a show that's so cheap be so expensive?
Well, they said it was like $1 million an episode. With all the stock footage. I mean, I can understand the first few episodes being expensive.
Yeah, but after that, no, I can't even understand that. I can't even understand the first few episodes because you took everything from your pilot.
They did take almost everything from the pilot. That's
what I'm
saying.
Battlestar Galactica?
Yes, the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Every special effect shot was taken from the pilot. Everything they used was taken from the pilot. And they were so cheap that they decided, hey, let's do a story where there's a fire inside the Galactica because the Cylon fighter crashes into the bay of the Galactica, and it starts a fire. Well, they just pulled footage
from Earthquake.
From the movie Earthquake.
That's right. That's Glenn Larson. different
and they
line.
Said, okay, this is the interior of the Galactica burning. And you're like,
yep.
Okay, well, that's all fine and good, but except I see a sky. You Nimrods.
There is no way. Because $1 million an episode back then is unbelievable.
I can't see how that was possible.
I think that was a smoke screen.
I think somebody had a little Tudorutsky going up their nose or something, because there ain't no way you spent $1 million.
Because back then, that would be the equivalent of spending about 20 now.
Right.
Per episode.
They would use stuff like, oh, well, the Cylons are expensive. I'm like, why would the Cylons be expensive? It's just the same costumes. You just reused the costumes. Plus, they weren't in every single episode.
You had a couple of big props that cost a little bit of money here and there.
I guess.
But no, not a million. That was bullshit because, look, what, 2 years later, they tried to bring it back again.
Yeah.
Stupid Galactica 1980.
They did the same thing. They just kept reusing stock footage.
Which one has the Cylon and the cowboy hat?
That's Galactica. That's like the second episode.
Okay.
The third episode, it was called Red Eye.
Red Eye.
Yeah. And that was actually a good episode.
Okay.
But that was actually a pretty good episode. I forgot. Yeah, that was you're right. It had a Cylon. Did he have a cowboy hat or he just had a
No,
he didn't have.
No, everybody
else. I thought he had a cowboy hat. Did he not?
Okay. No,
he didn't have a cowboy hat. Everybody else did. They had like futuristic looking cowboy hats.
Yeah.
They were made out of aluminum or something.
Right. Their own. Oh God, it looks so stupid.
And
okay.
It was basically a Cylon that was damaged when the fighter crashed, and he just didn't really remember he was a Cylon, and
he was dented in the head.
Yeah, he had a dent in his head, and there was the local villain, the local mustache twirling tie the chick to the railroad track villain.
Yes.
Took him as his toady, his thug, his enforcer.
Exactly.
And anytime somebody would oppose this guy, he would stick red eye on him. And they would go out in the street and have a duel, have a shootout like in the old West. And the reason they called him red eye is if you remember the red eye that went back and forth,
right,
which was recycled for Kit. Whenever he would target you, the red eye would stop.
Boom. Oh, dear.
Stop on you, and he would smoke you.
And, of course, Apollo beat him in a gunfight.
Apollo,
right.
Took him down.
It was a Western thingy. But by the way, if you ever get a chance to go to YouTube and pull up Gary the Cylon,
I love.
You ever
Gary
see
the
those? Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Gary the Cylon, dude, these are hilarious.
Oh, Gary the Cylon, yeah.
You seen that? Yeah, he's a jerk Cylon. It's freaking hilarious. But yeah, there's no way that show costs that much. It's horseshit.
Let's just admit that it was probably a cover, that the show sucked, and they didn't want to admit that they had blown a fortune on a turkey like that.
It could be. You know, I kind of actually, I don't know, I guess I'm old and weird, but I like that show. I loved the show
I remember when it first aired, I was like, if there's no Cylons in this episode, I'm not interested.
There were some really good stories. But, you know, it's kind of funny. Toward the middle, there were some crappy ones, but there were some good ones, too. And then the last two or three were really good. And then I've gone back and watched them recently and go, people have made fun of Galactica so much this could have something to do with it, I acknowledge. But I'm watching this and I'm going, this is just a really good, I guess it's not Star Trek level in terms of the stories. You know, it's not, they're very, it's not like, it really is Bonanza in space, and I'm not just, it's not just because it's, you know, Lauren Green.
Yeah, it is.
But I really, the stories are very simplistic, there's no question about it, but I really enjoyed watching them again. I mean, I've watched them a lot anyway, but it was a number of years. And they are pretty simple, but I guess I just like Apollo and Starbuck and Adama. I kind of like the cast, and it's pretty, and they had some okay stories. You know, again, I love Buck Rogers, clearly, just for Gil Gerard, but a lot of the stories were really awful.
Do you remember the one with Gary Coleman?
Oh my God. Happy Buck. Oh boy, that was
oh my God.
Yeah, that was truly horrific.
Do you remember the space vampire?
Another dumbass one.
That made Wilma stutter for some reason.
Right.
When he turned her into a space vampire, she stuttered.
The coolness of Gerard, even in bad stories, is just amazing. He's so cool as Buck. And of course, Wilma is wonderful. And that's about it about that show. I like the very first one, and a couple of them were okay, where he's being a badass, and they're pretty decent, fun, silly fare. And then they started doing really, But he still does cons, and he still gets invited to cons, because undeniably, the way he played Buck was just so damn cool. And it's a shame because, he even said in interviews back then, he said, like, you know, I really wish we had better stories because, you know, he really likes doing it. He loved doing it and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, it was just a shame that they couldn't have, you know, just think of how good that show could have been.
That's what happens when you have Glenn Larson attached.
Yep. Glenn Larson was a dolt. Guess who we have on the line?
Who do we have on the line? Is it Glenn Larson?
It is. He's not talking about me, you Nimrods. No, it's the lovely and fabulous Lizzie, is it not, Lizzie?
Hi.
Well, hello there. It's great to have you pop in. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. Is it night? It's night for us. Is it night for you?
Yeah, it's like 3:45 a.m.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, we thought we stayed up late. We thought we stayed up late. Well, how are you, dear? You got anything embarrassing to say about Matthew? Because we'll certainly take it. Flash and I will, you know.
You'll have to give me a minute. Not that I can think of. I think not now.
She's being kind. Well,
I'll get back to you on that.
That's okay. It's really Flash's job to embarrass him anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't be stepping on my toes, Lizzie, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
Well, we got to think of a good topic to do some kind of list show on, Lizzie, because I had a lot of fun when we had you and Matthew on that time, even though he was so mean and rude to put a movie that you love on his worst list.
Basically,
at least it wasn't number one.
I still got him to watch it, so I still won.
Well, yeah, there you go. There you go. You got him. Was that a long time ago now, or it was fairly recent that you both watched that one?
That we watched that one? Oh, that's like, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt, dude, I actually saw it in the theater.
Oh, my God.
Hard to believe it.
You paid for that?
By myself.
Hey, why wouldn't he?
God.
It's a good movie.
Jeez. Now I'm embarrassed for some reason. I don't know why, but now I'm embarrassed.
You know, if you like the movie, you like the movie. I mean,
I went because of Charlie Kaufman. I liked his other stuff. You know. And at the time, I didn't hate Jim Carrey like I do now. Yeah. So, and I didn't hate Mark Ruffalo either yet at that point. So. He's fine as Bruce Banner. I'm just messing around. Now, as you know, Lizzie and Matthew and Flash, Comic-Con's going on right now. Aren't we just devastated that we're not there? I'm not, but I'm not. Maybe you are.
I am a little bit.
Are you really?
Yeah. But that's only because there's, like, some panels I would have gone to, like, which one is it? That's in a few days. It's not Sherlock. It's something else with Cumberbatch. And then they're presenting, you know, Crimson Peak, and there'll probably be some Pacific Rim sequel stuff, and...
Oh my, yes.
All kinds of things, so... I'm a little bit disappointed. Yeah,
well,
Cumberbatch is there.
He's there for some DreamWorks animated thing, Penguins thing in Madagascar.
Penguins of Madagascar,
and deflecting Doctor Strange rumors.
Now again, maybe Saturday he won't be deflecting them. Maybe he'll say, yes, I am playing Doctor Strange. I hope. Oh my God. I'm no fangirl, but I do want him to play Doctor Strange.
He's dreamy. Come on.
I have trouble seeing the
dreaminess.
Do you really
think so, Matt? Do you really think he's dreamy?
I think he's
dreamy.
Yeah, of course he is. If by dreamy you mean coolest and a badass as Sherlock, anyway.
Yeah.
Cool as shit, man. by the way, but the other day I laughed. You know how, Matt, we like to make fun of trailers for trailers? Or I do, anyway. I still can't get over the concept. Flash, Matt says it's been happening for a few years, and I understand that, but now they'll come out, like, days ahead of time saying, on July 20 whatever, the trailer for such and such is coming out.
Yeah.
And it just started like, wait a minute, this is a trailer for the trailer?
Oh, yeah.
And that's still just...
Yeah, but...
There's nothing wrong with it.
But now they're doing it even more. They're doing trailers for posters now. Because there was a Walking Dead banner that was released, and they did a little preview of it. So it was a preview of the poster.
God.
Oh, that's right, they did.
Holy shit, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was a trailer that came out today, and I'm going to embarrass the hell out of all of us with this one, but what the hell. And I guess you know what I'm about to mention, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. I think I do.
Oh, you do. And
no.
Lizzie, it's okay to admit you've watched the trailer 20 or 30 times today.
I have watched it once, and I was cringing, and I just, I had to step away from the computer. I'm sorry.
So you think Flash and Matt can guess what we're talking about then?
I have no idea.
No, I don't think so.
Now I'm embarrassed that I know it. Jesus. It has a number in the title.
Right.
50.
I still don't know.
50. You got to make me say the whole title? Jesus.
50 Shades of Grey?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
God. The net is, I don't know, it's burning up over this thing, is it not, Lizzie?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a bit like every single person that I've listened to or seen react about the trailer. They've basically just said the same thing. They've said that it looks horrible, they're never going to see it, they're going to help bring the film down from, you know, the highest place in the box office. Like, there's no fans around at all, not that I know of.
I've seen at least 5 or 6 female friends of mine online saying, I can't wait, and I know what I'm going to be doing on Valentine's Day next year.
I don't even know what 50 Shades of Grey is.
Really?
But I do know, Matt and I were discussing this last night, I do know I'm really tired, and if you like it, fine, but I'm really tired of the preschool tittering that goes on with people when they talk about it. Like, I just read 50 Shades of Grey, I'm so naughty.
I just read a dirty book.
What the hell is it? I don't even know what the hell it is.
It's a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now, of course, obviously a movie coming. You really don't know what it is, or you just...
I have no clue. I'm not messing with you.
Wow.
I've heard of it, but I have no clue what it is, other than my adult friends titter like 8-year-old boys that just saw their first, you know, dirty magazine or something.
Well, you must be girls, because no men ever read that book.
Well, I don't know any 8-year-old girls that looked at dirty magazine, so I have to say 8-year-old boy.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, is that fair? I don't mean... Literally, but isn't that true that men don't read that book for the most part?
I never have met a single man who's ever read it.
Yeah,
I know Stephen Mel was offended by
it.
But
what's that? What's that, Lizzie?
I've never heard of any man who's read it. So.
Yeah, me either. Basically, younger women, and actually, I don't know the age limits. There's no real limit to the age that. For demo for that book, would you say, Lizzie, it's like a lot of middle-aged women, but I see a lot of younger women talking about it online, too.
Yeah, definitely. I think you should put a limit on it. Like, you shouldn't have 8-year-olds reading that book. But
right.
But, yeah, it's mostly middle-aged women and young women reading it.
It's basically softcore porn, Flash. It's basically S&M-type porn.
Yeah.
Yes. And
it's like this young girl who's interviewing this guy who owns this company, and he's very young, and they apparently have this, you know, real sexual attraction immediately, and they just have to go, yeah, completely S&M, as Rick says in the chat room. That's it, basically.
Yes.
Exactly what happens. And the author of the book... And this is the kicker. She's wrote 2 books. It's a trilogy. And it was originally Twilight fan fiction.
Yes.
That's the kicker.
That's right. I'm so glad you said that.
Oh,
God. It sounded really bad for me. And I'm embarrassed that I know that, so thank you. Even though I let the cat out of the bag.
You read it like 50 times.
Yeah. By the way, did you know, Lizzie and Matt, that, you know, this... I forgot which country now, but this is true. Well, I say it's true. I've seen a lot of news reports about it. That there were copies of the book in libraries some of them were, put it this way, they found STDs in some,
you know, people.
Oh, ew. I think that was, like, wasn't that, like, written or something? I don't know. It wasn't, I can safely say it wasn't where I am. I remember
that.
I'm not joking.
Yeah, so you heard about that, right?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Oh, boy. Does that tell you all you need to know? But
it's just disgusting.
Library book. Ugh. Hey, I mean, what happens if you have overdue charges on that sucker, huh?
Yikes.
Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed by that.
Now you need penicillin and a library card.
But I brought it up. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. But I brought it up because there's a lot of it's just the whole trailer for trailer thing. I mean, everyone's all excited. I see all these women. By the way, the thing is, I see a lot of women that I would not have expected to even to have read that book today.
Yeah.
That I'm, some of them are like family members and friends of family, and they're going like absolutely nuts over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the funny thing. It brings out the perv in people, so.
Yeah, but it's soft. I never got the whole
soft
core.
That is a tagline. Lizzie just wrote the tagline for that movie. It brings out the perv in everybody. That's your tagline.
Nice.
That goes on your one sheet.
Ew.
A film that will bring out the perv in you. Yeah. Mine's already out. I'm not.
I don't need the book.
I don't need a book for that. But you know, you can watch the real deal on all over. Not to be crude, but you know what the internet is for, which is porn. Why watch it? I can't softcore in a movie. It's always so dull to me. I think we talked about this last time. Either you and me, Flash, or you and Matt.
Yeah.
You know, sex scenes in movies are boring.
Completely pointless.
They're pointless. They don't do anything for the. Again, and they are pointless specifically because you can watch the real deal.
Right.
Easily enough.
If you're into that kind of thing.
If you were. You know, none of us here, we're all way too wholesome here in Clover Time.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So, by the way, Matthew, you heard. I mentioned Ross Purcell, of the Super Team Family blog. You want to hang out for that one? Either one of you, if you want to.
Be honored. Yeah, I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that guy, he does an amazing blog. So, again, for those listening on the archives, whatever, next Tuesday night, Super Team Family, the Lost Issues blogger, the maker of wish fulfillment covers that geeks have loved for years, and I've loved his covers for years, Ross Purcell. I hope I'm saying it right, Ross. I'll ask him when I talk to him. Purcell. That's not spelled anyway. Okay, I didn't say I could read. Now, San Diego Comic-Con, everyone. Going on right now. I got a buddy of mine there, the bastard, who tried to get me to go. He was going to, finagle me like a pass and everything, but I just couldn't swing it. Can't afford. It's very expensive, and if you don't get a pass, it's very tough to get in. And it's just... One day I do want to go, and I know you probably like to go one of these days. Either one of you or no, so not so much.
I don't know. Not. I'm not big on crowds. That's the old man coming out in me.
I hear you there, but I know Matt would.
You know, not as much. It used to be the holy grail of locations for geeks, but. Now, not so much anymore because I'm sort of disenfranchised with it anymore, with it being so completely irrelevant now.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like, I just don't really care anymore. Plus, I think we talked about this last year. I hate how it divides the fan community and everybody just starts arguing and everybody just keeps arguing for all 3 days and it just really grinds on me and I'm just like, I don't even care about this.
That's true.
Yeah.
By the way, Benedict Cumberbatch, notwithstanding, Lizzie, is this something you've ever wanted to go to or not so much?
I have actually wanted to go to it a couple of times. Like, last year was pretty cool, from what I heard. I don't know. I think I could definitely, if someone paid my ticket or whatever, I'd be persuaded to go there. That being said, I am exactly like... Flash, I'm not big on crowds, so I'd have to have someone with me.
And it's a big crowd. Shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I always really, by the way, I would love to go just once to just see what it's like. And there's some certain, I know I would like some of the, while there's still at least a few people left who can talk old comics, the Golden and Silver and Bronze Age, some of those panels I've always wanted to go to. Mm-hmm. But it's now just one big commercial. But I remember back in like 2011 when I first met Melinda, my wonderful Melinda of Retroblasting fame. It's weird how something, she's done this to me a few times. Opened my eyes, you know, gave me sort of an epiphany on San Diego. This is Dragon Con in Atlanta, and this is the first time I'd met her. We just start talking, we're talking about different things, and we were talking, and I said, man, I'd really like to go to San Diego one year. I'd really like to go to Comic Con. And she's kind of shrugs, it's just a bunch of new shit. Again, very simple, but Matt, you know me and new stuff anyway. And I was like, you know what, you're kind of right. Mm-hmm. And what she meant by that was, it really is just a bunch of commercials for all the new crap coming out next year. And it's just, they actually go out of their way to produce exclusives for people who go to this con. And like you said, it divides people because a lot of people just can't afford to go to this thing, and there's only so many people who can go anyway because there's a finite number of allowed at the con. And you're right. People go, oh, I went to Comic-Con. I'm getting all the scoops. You're not.
Right.
I know more. Because you mentioned some of that last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, when she said that, I was like, yeah, you know what? Really, you're right. It's all just a bunch of, I mean, every movie, every TV show, every con, they're all there to hawk this stuff. I don't even know why it's called Comic-Con anymore. It's just, to be honest.
When How I Met Your Mother is at Comic-Con, it's time to stop calling it Comic-Con.
Exactly. I mean, but you know what it is, though? It is the expo for geek news. It is where everything breaks. It's like, and it aggravates me, but Doctor Who, all of it. All the news goes through there.
Well, I'm with Matt. I hate the fact that people go to Comic-Con and they see some scene from a movie or a trailer, and then if they dare put and then the studios won't even allow a cammed version of it. They're like, no, you didn't go to Comic-Con, so you don't get to see it.
Yep, happened with Doctor Who last year. Marvel,
it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. I'm like, what's the difference? Thousands and thousands of people just saw it. Put it up.
Yeah, yeah. And they make all these Comic-Con exclusives. This is another thing, if you're a toy collector, and I can't really do it as much anymore, they're San Diego exclusive Comic-Con figures. So, like, you know, I'd kind of like to get that goddamn figure. But, you know, it's going to be a ridiculous price now because they limited it, and you had to actually go to Comic-Con to get that sucker. Aggravating. Even with Doctor Who figures, they do it now. Yeah, so, and yet here I am going, you know, if I had a chance, I would have went. I would have went if I'd had the chance. But I probably wouldn't have gone, acted like it was a big deal. Like, you know what, I'm a big deal because I was able to go to this damn thing. You're not learning anything that great. Because if you go around talking about it, everyone's just going to be aggravated with you anyway. Like, hey, you're spoilering. Stop it. Just like with that Capaldi episode, Matt, I'm still. Did you ever watch it?
I didn't. No, I didn't give in. I didn't break down.
Good. I'm proud of you because I'm still feeling crappy about that. You know, I wish I had not done that. Damn,
yeah.
I'm mad at myself for that. You know, maybe if it had been complete, that might have been a little bit different.
Yeah.
And you think you might have if it had been complete.
You know, if it would have been incomplete, I probably would have. Yeah, I probably would have.
Yeah. But, hey, what can you do? There's no one, you know, God. Especially this scene, we're just kidding. And by the way, speaking of spoiling, and we won't spoil it, do you think you guys will see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes? I mean, you guys must be actually sort of wanting to see that, I think.
We are going tomorrow evening.
Are you really?
Yes, we are.
I mean, don't go see it on my account, you know.
Oh, no. I'm pissed. I'm pissed I haven't seen it yet.
Just leave me to not have anyone to talk to about it for another, like... I know no one who's seen it.
No, the plan is to go tomorrow evening.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because, again, so a week from tonight we will do our ape show then?
Yeah. Well, I told the wife, I said, look, Jesse, you need to quit screwing around on this movie, because we have Guardians of the Galaxy coming up.
Oh,
we need to see apes before that comes out.
Yeah.
So stop messing around.
Yeah, you're not gonna dick around on Guardians, are you? You guys are gonna go see that pretty quick, aren't you?
No, that's gonna be pronto, man. I'm kind of upset I haven't seen Apes yet. I've been waiting for this thing. And it's just never seemed to be able to get our schedules to click.
So yeah, and besides,
I told her, I said, look, we gotta get this in. We got to get this in, because you know what's gonna happen? This is what'll happen. If I don't see Apes before I see Guardians, it's going to be DVD for Apes. I just know it.
Oh, we cannot let that happen.
No, right. I don't want that to happen.
You know, I mean, I'll push the show back no matter how far I have to, because I don't want to talk about it without you guys. But I it would be fun to talk about, especially this one scene where
Apes do stuff,
and one of them even says something. Sorry. Oh man, spoiler.
And Gary Oldman's in it.
Gary Oldman is not only in it, he's in it.
He does stuff.
He does things, and he says things.
Right.
Okay? And he emotes. So.
See, now you just ruined it.
And he wears clothes, which is a good thing. And glasses. I don't know about that. That's too spoiler. Never mind. I made that up. But, you know... you know what's another weird thing about it is I miss my Lizzie. They've got me spoiled because I love the fact that when they go see some movie that they always say, they always say I'm going to hate it. Now they can't do that since I saw it before them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, broke
the vicious cycle.
Well, here's what I want you to do, though, if you do go see it tomorrow or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Walk out. Pretend I didn't see it. Because I guess you both, because I've already said some, you know, decent things about it. Pretend I, and then go, then do my usual, what? How do you guys usually do it?
Alonzo's going to hate that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes me so proud. I don't know why. It's because I'm an idiot. So, do that. Walk out and go, forget I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you both know I kind of liked it. But forget I seen it. And see, I don't know. There might be a tougher one to call. Have you ever walked out and said, I would like one? And was it always hate? You can be honest. I won't care about my feelings. I have no feelings, so you could definitely tell me. It's not going to bother me.
Yeah, we did
a
Winter
fact
Soldier.
That I think it's funny.
Well, I did.
Which one?
Winter Soldier.
Oh, you knew I would like that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
So predictable. I'm predictable both ways, then.
I didn't think you would like The Avengers, which I found to be a shock.
But did you see it before me?
Yeah, I thought
so. Before we didn't talk, yeah. I did. I love the Avengers. Did you like The Avengers, Lizzie, by the way?
I thought it was decent enough.
There you go.
Well, it's because whenever that comes up, Matt just completely tries to rip it to shreds. So
yes.
That's why I don't talk about it so much.
I gotcha.
That being said, I thought it was... You know, the thing is, Marvel is starting to do the same thing over and over again when it's a movie that is, I was about to say a combination of actors, but when you have, one team doing something together, that just, it becomes the same formula over and over again. It gets really, really boring. And that's why Avengers was, good as a, Big Bang summer movie, but... If you're looking for something that's really, going to grip you, then just no, don't watch it.
It was kind of, and by the way, I actually love it when Matt trashes it. I love the movie, and yet I think it's, I just love when Matt goes off on it. It's funny. Because Matt likes to make me go off on shit all the time. So it's only fair. It's only fair. Matt does it to me. But, I actually agree with a lot. I mean, this is weird, Matt. Has it ever happened to you where you agree with criticisms on something and you still liked it anyway?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you were like, yeah, I can see that, but I still just, for some reason... And the fact that, Whedon was kind of in a trick box. He had five movies to clean up, and he said, all right, well, here you go. You got to wrap all this up. And, it was just like an end chapter. But, no, it doesn't have much of a story, but it had all kind of superhero elements that we'd never seen before, and I loved it for that reason. That said, I think Matthew is going to go see the next one, are you not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. I mean...
Oh,
can't be worse than the first one.
Yeah, sure it can. But, I bet, you know what, though? It could actually annoy me more than the first one. Because some of that crap already annoys me with this Ultron. But, what was it? Matt, you saw Iron Man 3 recently, and I was amused by your reaction to it.
Oh, did
I wish
you?
I
didn't even hear your reaction.
I wish I hadn't seen it.
I'm glad you saw it.
I didn't hear that you'd seen it. So.
Have you seen it, Lizzie?
Yeah, I have. I've seen all the Iron Man films.
And you have not seen it, Flash, right?
No. You didn't even want to.
I don't even want to. I don't like the first Iron Man. Why do I want to?
Oh, that's next to? About that.
This is the same guy who rips on Ant-Man. So you know.
Yeah, we're gonna have. To have that's just not acceptable behavior. However, Matt, Iron Man.
He's
3,
thinking very small, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's very small-minded of him.
Yes.
But I'll still have the power and strength of a normal human being.
I think you're taking that Saturday Night Live skit, that Saturday Night Live skit with Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and Garrett Morris a bit too far. Matthew, Iron Man 3, just give me a brief.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty good review. I take it that's not a positive, oh, my God.
That's not a positive, oh my God. That's an oh my God of Jesus. How do you make a movie that's worse than the first two Iron Man movies? That's such a difficult task. But the whole thing is just completely fucking horrible. It makes no sense. The story makes absolutely no sense. It also does its damnedest to make sure Tony Stark is the most ineffectual nothing in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And yet he's the whole focus of the movie.
Yeah, and he's the whole focus of the movie. So it's like the whole movie is, oh, I'm Tony Stark, and I'm having panic attacks for really no reason. Panic attacks. I'm a superhero, but I have panic attacks. And here's this, I'm doing the cliche, I'm going to stop being Iron Man. And then the precocious young kid just happens to come along and say, oh, you should still keep being Iron Man. And then the whole ending relies on the fact that when Tony shows up, Rhodey says, give me a suit. And Tony says, they're all assigned to me. I can't give you a suit. 3 minutes later, one goes on Pepper, who saves the day, by the way. Who beats the Mandarin / Killian whatever the fuck.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call that a Mandarin, so.
Yeah, not the... Who defeats the not-Mandarin.
Yeah.
And
makes
he's the
not...
look
even
yeah.
weaker than he already looks.
Why would they use Extremis anyway?
I have no idea.
It's dumb idea, because how's that a really a credible baddie for Iron Man anyway?
It's not. Yeah. Because Iron Man has no credible villains, unfortunately.
You know, that has something that a lot of the really more annoying superhero movies have too. It's we have to destroy all the armors. We have to quit the whole quitting thing. Superheroes quitting on film. Why is it every movie you have to have some kind of dalliance with the superhero stopping being the superhero in every movie? Why is it every goddamn superhero movie you have to destroy all of his? You have to destroy his house. You have to destroy. They destroy Wayne Manor. They destroy Tony Stark's house. They destroy all of his armor. Everything has to be wiped out.
Yeah.
Every one of them does that now. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Every one of them.
I didn't until you brought it up, but you're right.
Isn't it every time they always have to take, if they're a mask vigilante type, they always have to end up taking their damn mask off every 5 seconds. And if they're not, since you can't do that with Tony Stark, since it blurted out who he was at the end of the first one, then you have to spend all your time making, I want to quit. Boo-hoo, I'm a superhero. What was me? Excuse me. Panic attacks, and I don't want to be Iron Man anymore. And I'm going to blow up all of my armors for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God. And then, the Mandarin thing, it was just... I think another reason people bitched about that, not just because he was a fake Mandarin, because that was actually kind of funny, I guess, but it was... The fact is, you don't have a good villain in this movie. The part when he stops being the Mandarin, it's one thing to say fanboy, oh, it sucks that he's a phony. I'm sorry. I hate to be with the fanboys on this. Even I'm not actually proud to be with fanboys on a lot of things, but there's a point to that, because what you just did was take away the only shot at an interesting villain in the movie when he to find out he's a fake.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people were so angry that they did that plot twist.
Well, not only that, because but you have, you know, all the other Marvel movies, Loki's, you know, you have a Loki, you have a Red Skull, you have a, you know, even at the, in the Hulk movie for 5 seconds, they made you look like they were going to have the leader. They have the Abomination, you know, the Abomination, you know, so you do have some villains. You kind of need those for superheroes, by the way. But Iron Man's main bad, And so I told you about this. Like you probably you might know about this, Lizzie. Did you see Thor: The Dark World, Lizzie?
Thor, yeah.
Well, on the Blu-ray of that, they made a little short film with Ben Kingsley as that character from Iron Man 3, and he's in prison. And we find out—I know you know about this, Matt. We find out that there really is a Mandarin. It's just that even though he was faking, there really is one out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we can't have him in the movie or anything, because that's just silly.
No. That would be absurd.
It's because you need to save him, because Iron Man has such a weak rogues gallery.
Oh, jeez.
He does kind of, too, but I hated
terrible.
Iron Man 2. I hated Iron Man 2 even more.
Oh, you know, that's a tough call, because Iron Man 2 is just as bad.
Oh. I know you guys don't like
I actually think that Iron Man 2 is worse.
I do, too. And these guys don't like the first one. I really do like the first one, Livy, but... The second one.
The first one is pretty good. The first one's
pretty
good.
It
establishes the you know direction they want to take, but the second one was just but the second one was just the exact same as the first one. The exact same. It was just ridiculous to make a sequel.
And they ruined the villain too. You're right. Iron Man doesn't have a great rogues gallery. Crimson Dynamo being at least one of his better villains, and Whiplash being one of his dumber villains, and they combine the two. And Mickey Rourke is so bad.
Oh God.
Oh Jesus.
How can a man who made The Wrestler do that?
Oh, it's all, you know what they did, right? They went right to the set of The Wrestler and said, "Look, don't take a shower, don't change clothes, just come over to our set." It didn't speak incoherently. Like it was supposed to be some kind of Russian accent. But like,
oh, it was like the worst Russian accent I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, good God, I'll take Ivan Drago any day.
Oh yeah.
I must break you. Oh. So Flash, even though you don't like the first one, don't you think the second one's worse? Or did you see? Oh well, there you go. Damn it! I wish you'd seen it, Circus. No, actually, I don't wish.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst thing.
You guys both like The Amazing Spider-Boy 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see that, Lizzie?
I have not seen it yet, but I have been spoiled, so don't feel bad.
Ah, you've been spoiled,
because
eh? Well,
it's because I'm a very casual comic book reader, so I, saw the outfit that Gwen was wearing, and I was like, okay. That's going to happen. Okay.
So you knew about Gwen's fate.
Yeah,
and
I knew about the very famous death outfit.
But you know what? I wasn't so sure they were going to actually kill. I hated the first one. This one I thought had some better stuff in it. I just don't really like it that much. And then Matt and I, we all talked about it a while back. And it didn't do all that great a business. But what's funny about this one, did you hear that? You saw the announcement about 3, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're pushing it back behind... Sinister Six. Will someone please explain it? Maybe you, Matthew, maybe you, Flash, or maybe even you, Lizzie, one of you, can explain to me why anyone thinks that a Sinister Six movie can be successful when Amazing Spider-Man 2 wasn't even successful.
I can't.
Matt, you got anything there? Why people are going to go watch a bunch of dumb villains?
You know, I don't... The only way I think you could is if you make it sort of like a caper movie, where you sort of play them with these sort of extreme personalities, and they all have these jobs to do. That's the way I think you could make it at all compelling, but I don't think they'll do that. So I guess it doesn't matter.
A movie it's Sinister.
Yeah.
So in other words, what's the plan? It's not Spider-Man. It's just their villains. His villains.
I think he's supposed to make an appearance, but otherwise, it's just them coming
together. They're out of their mind.
Yeah. Pretty much.
they look absolutely bonkers. Because, you know, look, Spider-Man, I mean, people don't go, let's see, has there been a villain-centric movie ever made? I'm trying to think.
No, that's a good question, actually.
I'm trying to think. I'm going to say nay.
I'd like to see one, though.
I mean, I'm not even saying it would this would be bad because these guys are idiots and the villains look like shit, but I'm saying, let's just be practical here. Are you ever going to see a Lex Luthor movie?
No.
No.
Or a Joker movie? And this is just like, we got six of them, though. Great. And the point of villains is to fight the hero. And by the way, you know how many times it's been done in comics where they got their own title? Not a whole lot. Somebody's out of their friggin' mind. When I heard Sinister Six, I guess I misheard it, and I thought they meant the Sinister Six were going to be villains in a Spider-Man movie.
Well, that's the plan.
I think they are thinking the wrong way here. I think they were a little underwhelmed by Spider-Man 2's numbers, and I think they thought, well, we need to give this franchise a rest. It's been going since, even though it's unrelated, it's been going since Raimi's first movie.
Right.
And I think they thought, well, we need to give this a rest. So we got nothing else. So let's throw this Sinister Six movie in.
I don't understand it. I think they're absolutely out of their mind.
They're definitely out of their minds, but I'm thinking maybe that's quote-unquote logic.
Well, again, I thought every time I would hear Sinister Six, I guess I'm weird. I just thought that means Spider-Man's going to be fighting. They're going to build up to a movie where he fights the Sinister Six, which is kind of what you're...
That was probably the original plan.
Wow. And I saw this thing about Spider-Man 3, and they're pushing it back to, late 2018?
About the date that I retire.
Really?
I'm like, 2018? What? Are you kidding?
I understand that the other one didn't make a lot of money.
That's 6 years in between. No, it's, well, it's 4 years. That's 4 years in between movies.
See, the second one didn't make a lot of money, but I could understand taking a risk on the third one. But not with villains.
What are you going to lose? Yeah, what are you going to lose?
You got me, too. I don't understand these people. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is a risk, but it's not as big a risk as making a Sinister Six movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy is the biggest turnaround in movie history for me.
How so?
When they announced it, I said, are you kidding me?
Everyone
kidding
did.
Me?
Everyone
got to be joking me. I'm like, this sounds like the worst idea I have ever heard in my life. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And then when the first trailer hit and I saw the direction they were taking to where they're just like, hey, let's just have fun with this. Let's just not take ourselves too damn seriously here. I'm like, okay, I'm on.
Yeah. I'm with you. I was kind of the same way, especially when I saw the group they were using. I was like, and again, I was like that, and I was also like, wait a minute. A talking raccoon. Now, again, a fun movie. I don't have a problem with the talking raccoon in a fun movie. I'm talking, in today's times when they don't like any movie they don't want their superhero movies to come to be too much fun. They want grim and gritty. They want dark.
Yeah.
They want, you know, please forgive me for using a stupid word, realistic. I hate that. You know me. I hate that when it's used with superheroes. And they're going to, you know, even a talking tree is not as out there because we had Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
A walking tree, as a talking raccoon.
I think that's the character that will steal the movie.
Yeah, he might. He might. You know, I'm looking, and by the way, it took me a while to get there, dude, but I started looking forward to it, even though Star-Lord, it looks like he's acting like a snarky douche. I may be able to go. Like I said, I may be able to go with that because it might be. If it's fun, then I'm fine with it. I got some friends of mine that are pretty angry that they're seeing the trailers and they're the exact opposite of you guys or even me. They're like, it's too jokey.
That's why I want to go.
But I have seen that from some fanboys.
Oh yeah,
And have you seen? What about you, Matt? Have you seen mostly positive on it?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much. You know, you're either way for it or you're way against it.
You have seen some backlash or some negative you know.
I actually haven't seen as much as you guys are talking about. I've seen pretty much mostly positive.
No, yeah, it's just one friend of mine who's really big in it. He's been kind of like, yeah, I'm going to go see it, but I don't know about it. It looks too jokey. I've heard a couple people say jokey. You know, I don't mind it being, you know, lightening up is always preferable to me for a superhero movie anyway, but I don't know. And again, when you don't have a dog in the hunt, that's why. There's another thing. I like James Gunn, and I like stuff like Hellboy and other characters that meant nothing to me in comics, because usually I can like their movies. Hypocritical, I know, since I don't like seeing my characters messed around with, but then again, I have nothing for those Guardians, or even the original Guardians, they weren't really that great of a... I mean, nothing against them, but they weren't really that... And maybe that's the key. You do something with characters that don't have much of a... They don't have a gigantic fan base. I know some people like that current book, but... would that be something you will go see, Lizzie, by the way? Guardians of the Galaxy, or not so much?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Really?
And luckily, me and my sister have pretty much the same taste in movies. So we do this thing where we just go to the movies every once in a while, like every month or so. So I'm thinking that's definitely going to be the pick for August. Well, not August, but when it comes out.
I'm going first night. You guys better not, you know, don't hold out on me and wait, because, you know.
Oh, I'm not waiting. I'm not waiting because she's not going.
Really?
She's not going. No, that's stupid. That's so stupid. That looks stupid. Stupid. So
yeah,
he's
talking
not going.
Ape is fine, so, but keep your talking raccoon.
Yeah.
Ape can talk, but not raccoon.
Stupid. Yeah, that looks fine. So stupid. You guys are such nerds. That looks so stupid. I'm like, well, awesome. That means we don't have to wait for you then.
Oh, man.
Because we're... but her inner geek is starting to come out a little bit, though. She recently went on a Walking Dead binge.
Oh, there you go.
She got through the first three episodes and then still looked at me and said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I like it or not. I'm like, you've watched three episodes. You either like it or you don't. And she's like, I just don't know yet. So, actually, I just got a text from her, so I might have to cut out of here and go get her.
Uh-oh.
But, so she is holding us up on that, too. So.
Well, let me tell you something, dude. I hope you guys see Dawn.
Oh, we're going tomorrow. Yeah.
And promise
come hell or high water.
Well, promise me you will both do the, you know, you will just fake it and go, Alonzo's going to hate that. Or whatever, even if you think I like
it. We'll do it. We'll do it just
and
for
it won't
fun,
be the same.
we'll do it just for the fun of it. It doesn't matter.
In your honor.
In your honor. Okay, so I'm going to go get the lawgiver.
All right, bro.
I'm going to go get the Sayer of the Law, and I will catch you guys next time.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, bro. Let's see if this hangs on. If the Skype cuts out on me, I may have to recall back in. Did he hang up? Are you still hearing me, Matt?
Yep.
Okay, worked. I guess that's fine. Good. There you go. Now, Matthew,
yes?
I saw you post a picture that you were a little bit excited about Comic-Con-wise, and I guess we should probably cover it now. One little bit, I guess Saturday is where they do all their big announcements at Comic-Con, is that right?
Yeah.
So I guess they're just doing little teaser crap right now.
Mm-hmm.
You saw a Batfleck picture, and I think Flash and I talked a little bit about this before you came on here. What do you think? I mean, isn't that just not much different than anything we've seen already?
No, it looks tremendously different, because the thing with... the Batman, the Christian Bale costume, it looked too much like, you know, a motorcycle suit to me. It was like motorcycle gear, which I never really enjoyed. I'm like, this looks cool, but it doesn't really look like Batman. This, to me, I'm like, oh, that looks like Batman, so I'm in. I'm down.
Well, let me see. Well, in that case, I'm looking at your page right now. All I'm seeing is him from the neck up. What am I missing? Is there another picture out there somewhere?
No. Well, there's the cow is on display, but that's about it.
So you're just talking about the one, the little profile shot, the dark thing shot with... Okay, well, you can't see anything other than this.
Oh, well, you combine it with the things we already have seen.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
And I love the short ears.
You like the short ears, huh?
I love the short ears. I love short ears. They're so cool.
You don't like the tall ears in the Batman costume, do you?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, if it's Kelly Jones, you know it's going to be bad, but...
Yeah, not, you know, I kind of like, well, yeah, and I'm looking at an old picture, an old Bob Kane picture with the crazy big ears. I like the one in the animated series, but I don't mind the short ones too much, I guess, so...
Yeah.
I mean, the movie's going to be filth anyway, so that's the important thing. So it's going to be Ben Affleck, so... Yeah.
It's going to be your favorite movie of all time.
In a way, in a strange way, you are right. That will be, you know, because I'm going to love the fun we're going to have with it.
Right.
And you know what? This time, since we weren't paying attention as much because we didn't know what to expect last time, Matt, I want us to try to mark a point when the wars are going to start.
Oh, they've already started.
No, but I mean, don't you think? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it kind of. I just think it's going to be when more info comes out.
Well, yeah. I mean, when the teaser hits, or if they show that clip they're talking about showing, that'll be a good first, you know, shots fired type thing.
Oh, I got you. Wow, we got more Comic-Con news tonight. Stan Lee cancels his Comic-Con appearance. Because due to laryngitis, I mean, yeah, if he can't sit in front of a crowd and lie about how he did everything by himself, you know, what's the point, right?
Remember when he created Comic-Con?
I remember when I created Comic-Con. And Jack didn't have anything to do with even...
And Jack
Kirby
didn't do shit.
You know, actually, Kirby actually did help start Comic-Con in 1973, so... But I remember when I told Jack to go out there and start Comic-Con.
I remember when I gave him the idea.
You know, I remember when I created cons. I remember when I created myself.
I remember when I created the universe.
When I created the universe, I said, you know, there should be a universe.
I said there should be a big universe with lots of planets and people.
Yes, and a lot of people. Yeah, and comic books. We'd have to wait on the comic books for a while until we get the universe put together. So I had to wait on comic books, you see. Because it would be kind of silly to make comic books first without having a universe to put them in.
What sense does that make?
Yes. Holy crap. It's just too easy, isn't it? It really is.
Yeah.
This is embarrassingly easy. Now, anything, by the way, either one of you that you've seen coming out, not just necessarily Comic-Con, anything else? We got one thing to cover in a second, Matt, about Roy Harper. But anything coming out of Comic-Con that you've seen so far that we should probably cover? I know it's not all out; it's just still kind of new.
Yeah, I know the Walking Dead trailer for season 5 is coming out tomorrow, and Flash is going to be all over that. So.
Yeah, it's the same with I think it's the trailer for the newest Hunger Games coming out tomorrow as well.
Walking
Dead Part 1.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Is that something you're looking forward to, Lizzie?
A little bit, yeah. Because, believe it or not, they are really good adaptations.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's what I've heard. Everyone who reads the books. Have you seen those, Matt, by the way? Everyone seems to like those who's seen the books. Ah. You better get on that, Matt. What's wrong with you?
Nah, I'll be fine.
Are you sure? Lizzie, I think you need to try to talk him into it.
I'm going to try and talk him into it.
I'm sorry, Matt. Now you're going to blame me if you have to watch.
What have you done?
Now, Matt, Roy Harper.
That's my supervillain origin.
Yeah, it is. I love it. Roy Harper, dude. You're a big fan.
Yeah. Huge fan of Roy Harper.
And so you might actually start watching Arrow.
I've been watching. Actually, I started watching Arrow again at the end of the second season.
Oh, I thought you were not a big Arrow fan.
I wasn't, and, you know, I hated the first season. I thought the first season was really bad. But then when season 2 started, it was a constant stream of people saying, oh, no, you know, you should watch, you know, you should start again because it's been better and better. And I'm like, just so I can shut you guys up, I'll watch it. So I watched an episode, and it wasn't completely terrible. Didn't want to make me kill myself while it was going on like the first season did. So I guess that says something. So then I kept watching. It's quite improved, actually.
So you're at the "it doesn't make me want to kill myself" stage.
Right, yes.
Oh. That's good. And so you've been binging on the second season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you're happy that they're gonna have Roy Harper.
Yes.
Yeah. You're okay with the casting, right? I don't even know who it is.
I mean,
but I'm sure you're okay with it.
Yeah, he came in season two, I think. I think he came in season two. And yeah, what's the guy who plays him? Colton Haynes. And yeah, he's really good. He's really, really good. They're playing a lot with his, you know, the drug use thing too.
Oh yeah, the old drug thing.
The old drug thing.
That's speedy, ish. So I didn't even have to see him to know he's very CW ish, right?
He is very CW. Yeah. He's very.
Oh, it's a CW show, so.
Very devilishly handsome.
Hey, that's
charmed.
What 50 Shades of Grey. That's what that 50 Shades of Grey movie trailer. Yeah, I watched the trailer too. I'm sick. That's what it looks like, a CW episode of something.
Really?
Go watch that trailer and you'll go, this should be on the CW network. Tonight, on a very special Grey. It would call it Grey.
It would just be called Grey,
Yeah, it'll be a series on there.
I'm sure it will.
Tonight. Although the guy looks a little bit old for that. I mean, he looks at least over 24,
yeah,
and that's pretty old.
If he's over 30, he can't be on the
CW. Well, he looks about maybe what? What, Liz, you've seen the guy like 25 or something? That's pretty old for CW, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, who?
The guy playing Gray looks about like, what, 25 or something?
I don't know who he is.
On the Shades of Gray movie?
Oh, that dude. Yeah, okay. For a second, we were somewhere else. Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, he's... Well, how old is he? He is in his early 30s, actually.
Really? Oh, he's way too old to be on CW. Then they'd have to recast that one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he's definitely in his early 30s.
Yeah, he's an old timer then for that kind of that show. For that show. but yeah, that's Matt, by the way, a lot of these castings are disturbing lately. I don't know if I've ever seen someone a superhero cast where you went, that sucks. Have you? You're always pretty behind it.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah, because every time I see one, I'm like, ugh, what's that dude? And I always see you post something. Oh, this guy, what a great casting choice. I'm like, huh? What, that dude, really?
The only one I'm probably not behind is Downey, a Stark.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad there's one.
Yeah.
And I like Downey, a Stark, but I hear you.
Yeah.
What about Paul Rudd? You like that as Ant-Man?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, if the movie is being played in this sort of, not necessarily Guardians of the Galaxy, but more lighthearted manner than the others are, from what I understand of it, then yeah, Paul Rudd's perfect.
But when Wright was directing, it would have been.
Yes, absolutely.
Now I don't know. I'm getting. I don't know. Do you like that costume? Oh,
I do.
Man.
Yeah, I really love. That was really cool.
What is it with these freaking overcomplicated costumes? Jesus. They're just obsessed with them, aren't they?
That's the Jim Lee School of Design.
It is. Oh, by the way, I remember I messaged you the other night. I got that Batman Arkham Origins thing. God, man, I hate that friggin' costume. And you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing with that game? I'm doing the same thing I did with the last game, Arkham City.
Right. Yeah.
After I got through the first couple of levels, I'm just running around the city just doing silly Batman crap, starting getting in fights and not even engaging in the story at all.
Well, the thing is that the fighting is so much fun that you almost at the point where you're like, I don't even want to play this one. I just want to beat up scumbags.
Can I change that stupid costume?
You probably can. I mean, there's different costumes you can get.
Oh,
I think it's a
pretty
game
with awful
different costumes.
I could have swore I saw somewhere where you could have the Adam West costume.
Yeah, yeah.
That would look kind of silly for that kind of game, but who knows if I could get it.
You know what? But I went on YouTube after that was announced after that came out, and I watched some videos of people playing with the costume. It looks so surreal that it's amazing. See somebody running around in this Adam West Batman costume, this bright blue and gray Adam West Batman costume, running around in this super dark city fighting these dark-looking thug, and it's really kind of surreal, but it's awesome.
It would be kind of funny. I may have to do that.
It's what's going on.
That? Oh, God, that's crazy. Oh, my goodness. Well, what else is... Oh, well, yeah, they released some Avengers pictures. I know you were really thrilled about that, weren't you?
I'm so excited that...
Yes, I can hear the excitement.
Yeah, hear it.
Can you hear the excitement, Lizzie?
It's oozing.
I can hear it. You know, I've known him for a few years. I can definitely hear the excitement.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way, Matt. Since you didn't like the first one, you can't get, like you said, you can only go up from down. And it might really surprise you because, you know, Whedon has been on record as saying that, you know, he's free and clear now to do what he wants. Or, well, actually, not entirely what he wants. But, I mean, you know, he doesn't have to worry about cleaning up any kind of story. He just does his own deal. So maybe it'll have a, you know, actually have a story and everything this time. Yeah.
And it does feature my absolute favorite Marvel villain, Ultron, so it's already got some points with me.
Yeah, I love Ultron, I just don't like the whole, again, the whole Tony Stark thing. Again, look, I'm not fanboying in the sense that it's going to make me not, it's going to be a deal killer, but it just speaks to the whole problem with the Marvel movies, like they're so Tony Stark centric that we can't even have Ultron without making it Tony Stark. And, Does that bother either one of you at all that it's not Hank Pym? I mean, like it does me, because it really does me.
Well, we were discussing the other day that Black Widow should have her own movie.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
That's like just one of the things that popped into my head. Because, Tony Stark definitely gets a lot of screen time compared to everyone else. I think if you had to, like... I think it would probably go like Tony Stark and then Captain America and then Bruce and then Hawkeye right at the end and then Thor before Black Widow. And that's just, I don't know. I don't know if I like that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind her having her own film. I would like to see that. She never really had her own comic that much, but that's different.
Mm.
It could work, and she's great. And I mean, she had a great role in Winter Soldier. Did you see that, Lizzie, by the way?
Not yet.
Oh, good. I'm glad I stopped. I'm glad I asked, and so I didn't say anything. But she was great in that. She was great in that. So, oh, you know what, Matt? You know what we almost forgot?
What's that?
Matt, we forgot... You know, because it's been a week or two now, we forgot to address the latest Marvel, I don't know if you call them controversies. I don't know if you call them controversies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as you may know, Lizzie, Marvel Comics last week, it's tough for me to care. I hardly read any Marvel Comics, but they've decided to turn Thor into a woman, and the next day they announced that Captain America will be... Sam Wilson, who's basically, he's a black man, he's the Falcon.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so you heard about this, right?
Yeah.
And Matt, talk about it a little bit, because I saw you make an interesting post about that, about the Thor one. Was it the Thor one, or maybe both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was both. Yeah. I don't think I mentioned Thor in that Thor in the post, but it did come up. Yeah, it was really kind of annoying. It was aggravating to me because there was, you know, the change with Thor came, and it was Thor, the Thor change came first, right? And then it was Falcon and Captain America?
Yeah.
So the Thor change comes, and everybody gets so, all the people who are, you know, pro-PC and all this stuff, they get so excited, and they're like, yay, Thor's a chick now because of reasons. And then... So there's people like you who are like, this is stupid and this is dumb and blah. And those people are getting like mercilessly savage and they're being called misogynist and sexist and they're being called all these horrible things. And I'm like, this is really not the way to do this. This is not the way to handle this. This is the completely wrong way to handle this. To just savage people for having a contrary opinion. I found it very aggravating. I found it very offensive, quite honestly, that my friends were being just ripped apart for having a different opinion. And it was like I was saying, you know, you make Thor a chick, and oh, that's female empowerment, and that's, you know, yay women. Say you make Black Widow a guy, you make Wonder Woman a guy, oh, well, that's sexist and misogynist. I don't like the double standards that are at play with a lot of these things. They really grate on me, and I,
yeah.
I didn't like seeing my friends get attacked. It was very annoying.
Your friend in particular, really appreciated. And actually, you know what? I had not even weighed in. Well, I didn't even weigh in on it until all the hoopla started. Because look, I read two Marvel books right now, and I don't know why I'm reading those. I kind of like Slug Silver Surfer, and I kind of like Wade Daredevil. And now, but I haven't read their Thor or Cap comics for years. But it's exactly what you say. In other words, this was not the kind of decision that was going, all right, look, everybody, I got a great idea for a story. Why don't we disgrace Thor because of the story he is? We're going to disgrace him and take his hammer away and make him do something really messed up so Odin, trashes him, and we can hand the hammer off to a woman, and when I'm going to say who she is, which is kind of what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Well, that in itself is fine. But that's not what is in play here. This was like, look, sales are down. No one's buying our dumb comics right now. I mean, they're not, because we've all know sales are and the crapper.
Mm-hmm.
They know if they make some kind of severe social statement change with Thor. And by the way, they were lying when they came out. When they came out and said Thor is a woman now. For the first time ever. It's not even the first time ever. And although Thor, a little aside, Thor is a name. It's not a superhero moniker.
Right.
It's like, if his name is Ralph, we're going to make Ralph a woman. Well, unless you're giving Ralph a sex change, it doesn't make sense. Thor's his freaking name. She could have had another name and get the hammer. But then again, you can't market that.
Yeah.
So, again, it was done. Now, I'm sure there were probably some. Because I know how there's nothing so predictable as the PC mind that thinks that because they're doing something like this, that they're doing something great for society. They are wonderful social architects who are just, we don't usually talk to politics on the show. I ban politics on the show, but when they spill over in the comics and geekness, I feel like I have to address them. They said, if we do, we can do something, we can pull a stunt and it'll get mentioned in the media. And sure enough, this got announced on The View.
Yeah.
A political show. And, again, it's one of those things that here's where I think Marvel kind of missed the boat. First of all, just like you said, if you're someone who just likes Thor the way he is and thinks, they're putting it, you would love to see more great female superheroes, but Thor is fine the way he is, and I like him. Don't screw Thor just so you can do this. That's all it takes to be called a misogynist. And then the next day they went on the Colbert Report and reported that, again, he went on a show to do this, Joe Quesada. He went on a show that talks politics and announces that Captain America will become a black man, a character who was formerly the Falcon, Sam Wilson. And, again, if you say, that's kind of stupid, I just like Cap Steve Rogers to me. I didn't like it when Bucky was Cap. Leave him alone the way he is. Well, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Not, hey, I disagree with you. I think it's fine if they're making. If you were someone saying, look, I think it's cool that it's a woman, I think that's a good story idea, fine. But not, they can't do that. They have to say, well, you're racist. Well, you're a sex pig if you don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
How about I just want to, they can't. In other words, they can't have they can't have anything rational. They have to call you a bad person, because if you're calling someone a misogynist, that's a bad person. If you're calling someone a racist, that's a bad thing to be. So they have to trash you because they have nothing to stand on other than insults. And I think they missed the boat here, though. Because they could have gone for the PC trifecta and made Tony Stark gay. And then they could call you sexist, racist, and homophobe. If you just said, Tony Stark being gay is ridiculous. He's never been gay before. That's all it takes for some PCers to call you a homophobe. And again, it's not like this is some editorial decision where they're going, this would really be a great story. They're saying, look, sales suck. If we put it out in the social media and the real media, in fact, if we kill a character, we've been killing characters all over the place, and it gets us a temporary sales boost, and then it's done. Then it all goes back down to normal because people don't care. Only comics geeks cares, and comic geeks are stopping caring. So if we do something like this, we make a character gay, which they sort of did with Green Lantern, but not exactly a few years back. When we do something that will get sensationalistic press outside of the comic press, it's going to make us a little hay, and people are going to think we're such great, wonderful social architects because we're daring, and we're making strides for diversity. How does changing anything in a comic book do anything for diversity in real life? In my opinion, it does not. If someone has a different... by the way, If your opinion is different, you think it does, that's fine. I'm not going to call you an evil person. Just don't call me one, just because I think it's silly to do that to Thor or Captain America. And if they, you know, they should have, you know. So I'm totally with you on that. Do whatever you want with your characters. I don't read your comics anyway. But it's the PCers. It's just like the Fantastic Four thing. When they make this movie and they cast Johnny Storm as black, he's been white for 50 years. We just would like to see the. It's not that we don't care. We don't want to see a black character. We just want him to be like he was in the comic when we read him. But you can't. People can't go. Well, look. If you're saying that, it can't be because you love the character. Just want him to see translated the way you loved him. You must be a racist. And that's just not good for discourse. This whole world, but especially this country, because I can only really comment on this country, discourse in this country is in big, big, big disarray. And it's because of things like that.
No.
So, Lizzie, what do you think about the whole deal?
Oh, I think you pretty much just said it all.
I've just been
listening to it and going, like, well, this is basically kind of what I feel like. So, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, there was a time, you know, I remember back up in the 80s, Matt and Lizzie, Marvel decided, all right, you know, we're going to kind of do something a little bit different. Tony Stark is having all these problems. We're going to put Rhodes in the, I remember Rhodes, that was when Rhodes, he'd been in the comic for a little while, James Rhodes, his friend, a black man, and they put him in the Iron Man armor.
Right.
Now, they didn't change Tony Stark to black, they just put Rhodes in there. And there were a lot of people that were, again, this is the 80s, different times. A lot of people were like, this. And my only complaint was that the art really sucked. You know, the story wasn't all like, and I didn't know who Rhodes was. And I'm a kid, by the way. You know, and I was like, you know, why can't Tony Stark be Iron Man? But I read it for a while. I was like, I didn't care. I mean, I didn't give a crap that he was black. I was just like, you know, it's just, I don't know this guy, Rhodes. And it did seem like they were trying. By the way, another footnote to that, it didn't get announced on television. It's a comic book. No one cared. You know, in other words, it wasn't socially relevant. No one cared that you were putting, you know, a black man in the Iron Man armor. Only the comic book fans cared. Mm-hmm. And some people, there were, look, there's no question about it, as sad as it is to say, there were probably people who were racist. They were like, well, I'm not reading that no more. You can't do that with Iron Man, damn it. He's supposed to be a white man. You know, it happened, probably. This is the 80s, okay? I mean, what happened, you know. I'm sure it happened. There's racism and there's bigotry everywhere, and it sucks, and it's a shame, and it's horrific. But, there, you know, it was a different time, and there's no such thing as political correctness, but it did happen. And so I heard people make jokes about it and say some not nice things about it. I was running a comic shop. And I was just like, you know what? Look at the art in this. It really blows. So that's what I that was my only complaint. I was like, you know, I guess at the time, if it had been Peter Parker, and they said, all right, Peter Parker's getting out of the costume, and we're going to put, they've done it recently since then, but if in the 80s someone had taken Spider-Man out of the costume and put it like, and just for the social engineering thing, and they put a black character in it, I probably would have gone, I don't understand why you're doing that, but I mean, it wouldn't have bothered me much, but it would have, it certainly met with a lot more derision back then, racially, than it would today. But today, now, it's gone from, you know, again, when it was done with Rhodes, it was kind of like they just thought it was an interesting story. They weren't doing it for sensationalistic reasons, I don't think. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you really gain from, in a sense of societal diversity by a comic book character's, you know, sex being changed, or actually they're calling, it's not really a sex change, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what, but there are people who actually see this and think, wow, isn't that wonderful and forward thinking of Marvel to do that? Really, is it? It's just symbolism, isn't it? I mean, and let me ask you about this. What do you think of the concept of, in a way, isn't it almost a slap in the face to a female character or to a minority character like black, for example, or whatever, that you have to change a white character into one of them? Rather than creating a new character that starts out from scratch as black or starts out from scratch as a female? What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to create a character that, if you want a black character, you want a Latino character, a gay character, any kind of character, it's kind of silly to say, well, this guy's gay now, or this guy's black now, or this guy's Latino now. No, what you're doing it the opposite way. You need to create a compelling character that already is black, or is Latino, or is gay, or Indian, or whatever.
Yeah.
And have them be a compelling character, not basically sacrifice another character that's been around
mm-hmm.
forever so you can make a character black. It's completely backwards.
Yeah.
Yep. It was, what's it? I don't know if you're familiar with the Fantastic Four reboot that's going on right now, Lizzie. But,
Yeah, I am.
They're doing it. Actually, I live in the same, unfortunately, in the same city where they're making that thing. And Matt and I talk about it a lot on here, but I think I talked to Matt about this once. They announced, let's see, a lot of the same people who were really, yeah, I think you remember this, Matt. They announced the gentleman who was playing Johnny Storm's father in the movie, Lieutenant
yeah.
Franklin Storm. And so, you know, obviously he's a black man because Johnny Storm's black. And
mm-hmm.
when it was announced in the fan press, and this is one of these blogs I used to read. I'll never read it again. It's absolutely disgusting. They announced this, right? And they didn't just say so-and-so playing Franklin Storm, whatever. They literally led their headline was literally, well, the racists will just have to be pissed off. Here's Johnny Storm's father.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go, you racist. How do you like that? Yeah. And look, there's so much more wrong with that movie than any kind of casting of any kind anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, really? That's how you're going to start your write-up? That's fair. Press pretty fair-minded. So, in other words, if you think it's dumb that they... By the way, I don't know if you're familiar with the Fantastic Four, Lizzie, but Johnny Storm and Sue Storm were brother and sister.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now they're going to have to be like stepbrother and sister, which is, yeah, again, that's not even near the worst thing about the movie, but I'm just saying they
yeah.
have to make a big deal out of that. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my problem is this movie is going to... Did you hear, Matt, that it's going to be found footage and stuff now?
Oh, yeah, that's Trank's trademark after Chronicle.
Oh, my God.
Which actually is a pretty good movie,
Fantastic Four going to be found footage
yeah.
or whatever? Oh, God.
Yes. Yep. Because that screams Fantastic Four, don't you?
Definitely does.
Every time I read a Fantastic Four comic, I'm like, you know, this would make a great found footage movie.
It would. Yes, because it is a documentary.
Yeah.
That's like a
but
documentary.
We need to be fair. Chronicle is a really good movie.
It is
so.
Good.
Yeah. I don't disbelieve you, but you know because of Trank, I'll never watch it now.
Right.
Actually, maybe I should watch. What do you think, Matt? Should I watch it just so I can...
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think you might
yeah.
enjoy it. It's pretty cool. It takes a lot of interesting superhero tropes and plays them in really kind of cool ways. Yeah, it's pretty good. I really enjoy
it. Well, there you go. Rick the Blairtastic Four. That's a good one. yeah, but there's one problem there, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
In the off chance, I know it's a long shot, but what
right.
if something happened that I watched it and liked it?
Oh, well, yeah.
I would have to say something
all the hope in the world for Fantastic Four.
No, I wouldn't. I would still be sick of that's what I'm saying. Since it's still this, whether that's a good movie or not, it's irrelevant to me because he's
yeah.
still an idiot. Because what he's doing in Fantastic Four is plain wrong. So therefore, just imagine right now I have him on the level of Jar Jar Abrams and Michael
yeah.
Bay of people I despise. In fact, he might be number one on the shit list. If I have to say something nice about Josh Skank,
it would be like something nice about JJ.
Yeah. It'd be like you having to say something nice about Michael Bay, Mr. Turtles oh. fan.
You know,
Mr. Transformers fan.
Mr. Turtles Transformers fanboy. Yeah, I know
yes.
my strength.
By the way, the stream's about to run out. And we're still being recorded, but I just want to say, before the stream runs out, Greatest American Hero Rick, thanks for being here, my brother. Thanks for being here, bro. I appreciate it, sir. And, of course, everyone else on the archives, we're still being recorded here. Just the live stream's running out there. But thanks, Rick. I appreciate that. Speaking of that, Matthew, you didn't go
yeah.
see Transformers, did you?
No, I stayed far, far, far away.
Didn't it
far
make,
away
didn't it give you a bit of a? Did it give you a bit of a tingle? Did you kind of enjoy all the bad reviews it's gotten?
I love it. You know, I love reading the bad reviews of Transformers movies. It's like, you know, if I'm having a bad day or I'm having a rough time, it's like, you know, I'm going to read a Michael Bay Transformers review, and that'll make my life so much better. It'll just make me feel happy.
I love especially
reading the really supremely harsh ones that are like, fuck Michael Bay, and like really mean. Yeah. Those are my favorite. Oh, those are great.
That sounds like something we would do.
Yeah, I think you wrote that.
It sounds like a clobbering time. Or something. Well,
yeah.
You know, when is Turtles coming out?
August 14th, I think.
Oh, boy. And you're not going, are you?
I might have to, you know, because I've said so much about it. I've tried. You know, I've ripped
right.
it apart so much. Yeah, I may have to out of, you know, logistics.
There's probably very little danger of you having to say anything nice about it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'll come out glowing with a glowing review.
Now, Lizzie, is it right for me to assume that you don't have any Michael Bay movies on your top 25 list? I didn't remember that.
Oh, dear God in heaven, no, never, ever, ever, ever.
I think she loved Transformers 2, though. She probably had Transformers 2 on there.
Did you really?
No, I did not. No,
that's
I did
awful.
Not. Matt, you know me better than that.
Did you even see Transformers 2? I was dumb enough to go to the theater. That's how dumb I am.
I was dumb enough to see all three.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Matt, I went to the theater to see 2, and when I walked out... after 2, I was like, oh my, oh boy. Maybe, you know, the first one's dumb, but man.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen at least the first couple, Matt?
I've seen the first 2, and after that I said never again.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's funny about that, though, or disturbing about it, is from what I've seen, the third one, it felt like it just went in and out of the theater in 5 minutes. And yet it made... stupid money.
Yeah, and it made $1 billion. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but seriously, I don't understand. I mean, forget how it probably is garbage. I'll never watch it. But, I mean, I blinked and it was gone. I didn't really pay much attention. And so, to my silly mind, I was like, oh, I guess that one didn't make it. Good, we won't see any more of that crap. And then I hear, wait, what? $1 billion.
Yeah.
You didn't hear a lot of talk about it either. You know what's funny about that, Matt? If you think about it, also, you know, movies that make $1 billion, usually you hear a lot of people talking about. Like, for example, you know, a lot of people loved Avengers. You hated it, but you heard talk about it.
Oh,
in other words, it was talked about. I don't remember people even talking about,
you know,
Transformers 3 or whatever.
Yeah, you know what? That's actually true. Now that you mentioned it, it's kind of like, because even for someone like me who hates these fucking things, I remember the trailer for Transformers 3 came out. And it just kind of whimpered, and it just kind of stunted along. It was like, nobody really seemed to care, but then it makes $1 billion, but still nobody really seems to care. I'm like, how does this happen? How does this happen? Even with this one that's out now, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of like, I don't really see anybody talking about it, but it's making stupid money. I'm like, what the hell is this anomalous thing?
8-year-olds in China.
Could be.
Because
it's the
biggest movie in China.
That's true, which is hilarious to think about.
Yeah, because you know what? I was at some... I've been hearing, I think only like eight-year-olds are forcing their parents to bring them to see that, maybe. Because a parent at work, Matt, you know, Michael and Melinda were kind of talking, we were talking about that the other night, about how Melinda calls non-geeks muggles. And we were talking about how, you know, when muggles walk up to you and start talking, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to be nice, so they start talking. They know you like geek stuff, for example. You know, they know you like Batman or either Star Trek or Doctor Who or whatever. And they'll mention, hey, did you see that new Star Trek movie or, you know, or whatever. You know, they'll mention, you know, did you see this? I get that all the time. I'm a magnet for it. Like, did you see the new, so, you know, and they just assume because if it's got robots and shit in it, if it's got superheroes, they're right about the superheroes, I guess. But in other words, they always assume I've seen everything, and I and so I get asked about Transformers by some woman at work, who because she's you know look I bring it on myself. I wear a comic book shirt to work every day. You know, I wear a Doctor Who shirt, a Star Trek. You know, we're all kind of so you know I wear them to work.
Oh, your Kirby shirt.
And my Kirby shirts, yes. I, you know, in other words, it's always geek stuff all the time with my shirts. I admit it. So I guess it's my fault. But she asked me, so did you see Transformers? No.
No.
No, I did not. Not since the first two stupid ones. I said, yeah, my little boy liked it. And she's going on how he loved it. Of course, he's eight. I think he's like 8 or 9. And I'm like, well, and look, and we talked about this. Melinda said the other day, she feels bad sometimes if someone comes in and say, did you see that new this or that, and says something she can't stand, how geeks don't get it. In fact, in other words, how non-geeks don't get it, excuse me. They'll be like, did you see the new Star Wars? Did you see the new Star Trek or whatever? And you'd be like, that piece of crap. I hate it. It's garbage. They don't understand. They're like, really? Okay, what the hell?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And have you ever done that, like explain to a Muggles why you didn't like something, and you're totally, you could be speaking a different language?
Yeah.
You've run into that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what's funny is that I sort of ran into the other the other part of it where my friend Ashley, who is not a comic book reader at all, she hasn't read, I think she's read a couple, but nothing, you know, that's it. She's basically read a few. She loves the Marvel comic book movies. She goes and sees them all, and she's like, I love Thor, and I love Thor, and this and that. The hilarious thing about her. What?
Yeah, she loves Thor. I saw her. She loves Thor, yeah.
Yes, you know her. She loves Thor. So what's hilarious is that when Captain America, the first Captain America came out, we were talking about it. I hadn't seen it yet. She had just seen it. And she was talking to me, and what I thought was funny was that she is seeing things that I already know happen. But she doesn't know that I know they happen because I've read the comic books. She hasn't. She's only seen the movies. So she's talking to me about things that she's trying to not spoil me on things that I already know are probably going to happen. So she's sort of implying, oh, I don't want to tell you what happens to Bucky. I'm like, I already know what happens to Bucky. If he's Bucky, he's dead. If he's Bucky, he's done for. So it was funny. It was so funny. It's so funny to me that she sort of tries to shield me from things. It's like, it's not going to work. There's
no pun,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah,
I get that a lot, too.
And
I get, you know, this will not shock you at all, Matthew. You know what I get a lot? I think I told you about this before. I get a complex about this, actually, because I know I'm hypercritical. If I hate something, I go a little overboard. I admit it. But because
we all do,
but I got a complex because I get the, oh, Mike hates, you know, the old Mikey hates everything thing. He hates everything to the point where people will come up to me at work and they want to ask, they don't just ask me like they would anyone else. Hey, did you see this? Hey, I just saw this movie. Did you see so and so? For some reason, I get that all the time. Like they think I watch every day. I don't watch anything anymore much, but I don't even get, hey, did you see so and so? Here's what I get. I get, hey, Mike, you probably hated it, but I watched this so-and-so, and not, hey, did you, Mike, I watched this movie, and it was really good. Well, you probably hated it, but
right.
That's how the conversation starts with me. And they're friends. You know, a couple of them are friends or friendly acquaintances, but I'm like, automatically, I've gotten to the point, oh, really? I probably hated it, huh? And
yeah.
So it fucking sucks. I hate it. Well, I knew it. And one time I got so aggravated, it was something I really liked, and I just lied. Yeah, I hated it. You're right. It sucked. but then I couldn't stop myself. I turned around and corrected it. But I've developed a complex about it. I was like, I don't hate everything. Oh, you hate everything. And I talked about this before, Matt. I could sit there. People hear negative. Isn't it funny how people just will hear the negative? And in other words,
oh, yeah.
I understand. Look, there's a certain catharsis to be gotten from just if you hated something, just rip it on it. It's fun. I don't care. I don't know why people think that's such a horrible thing. It's fun, especially if you're doing it with humor and you know it's a movie or TV show. It's not life and death. It's not war, poverty,
right,
and crime. It's, you know, so if you want to beat up on a movie, if that's all you do, then yeah, that's probably not a good idea. You should, you know, talk about the things you love too. But sometimes you want to rip on something. I mean, it's not an evil thing, but some people really can't stand that kind of thing. And yet those same people who I call posi-Nazis, they never hear they only hear a negative. Like I said, I tell you this before plenty of times, Matt. I could spend 5 minutes on something I think is, oh, that's the worst piece of crap ever, and going off on it, and then 20 minutes about how much I just love this, whatever it might be. And I guarantee if someone who didn't like what I said about the one that I didn't like, if they didn't agree with that, you hate everything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just spent 20 minutes like, going nuts about how much I think such and such was just great. You did everything. Okay. You can't win with some people. That's all they hear is the negative. They hear what they have selected hearing. It drives me crazy. Like, I wish I hated everything. I wouldn't spend all this money on stuff I wouldn't want stuff. I wouldn't go, man, that is so cool. I'd like to have that. You know? But I do envy you of the younger generation a little bit, though, because you have new things to look forward to. I know, Matt, you're excited about a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
What I am guilty of, Lizzie, is because I'm old and I'm not in the demographic target demographic anymore. They don't make anything for me. And Melinda posted something a while back that was, she wrote, and it was just like a weird, you know, people, we post vague things on Facebook sometimes to be silly. She posted, mm-hmm. She said, you know, I really miss looking forward to things because there's nothing coming out that I like. And I was like, man, that's depressing.
Yeah.
And even I'm older than her, and even I'm not bad. I have Doctor Who, you know, I have, but when I think about it, there's not a lot of new stuff. I mean, I'm looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm starting to wonder, Matt and Lizzie, I think sometimes I'm maybe forcing myself psychologically to look forward to something because it's no fun to not have anything to look forward to. I mean, do you have things
I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, it is very, very, like, boring not to have something to look forward to. So I guess I do have a little bit that mindset as well. At least I used to have that a lot when I was younger, that I had to, you know, look forward to, I guess, that age, that would be, you know, Disney or whatever. But now I'm like, I guess I'm a bit more, yeah. I don't know what the word is. Matt, you go.
Matt?
Yes? What was the question?
I was just talking about being able to look forward to things and stuff, and you know, you're lucky that you're at the age where they're aiming everything at you. And
yeah.
You got a lot of stuff coming out that you like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if I, you know, force myself to like look forward to something. I've genuinely looked forward to, you know, like Batman versus Superman and Guardians and all the DC movies. And yeah, I think it is genuine. I think.
I'm wondering if mine's genuine sometimes. I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I'm like, I don't know, what's wrong with you? You just want to eat something. No, with Doctor Who, it's real.
Yes, and Doctor Who, yeah.
You know, I talked about that, you know, I love that. It's the one thing that, for me, that hasn't been completely destroyed of all the old things that I love.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you this, Lizzie, you know what Matt is really looking forward to the most?
Oh,
besides
shit.
That.
Tell
besides,
me.
Besides Batman molests Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt, I'm actually looking forward to that too, aren't I, Matt?
Yes, you are.
Just for different reasons. he's looking forward to Star Wars Episode 7.
Yes.
Yeah. Ask him how many
Do you know
how many so far, Matt?
I calculated yesterday. Actually, because I know I was coming on your show tonight, and I calculated yesterday, because I knew it would probably be brought up. And I calculated, and I came up to the point, zero fucks given.
Zero that's, still? Wow.
There's still zero fucks given.
Wow, that's...
Couldn't find a single fuck to give.
That's the same number that I have, actually. Now, what about you, Lizzie? Do you have any at all for it?
For Star Wars? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But more casually, I guess. Like, we can all agree that the new trilogy was unmentionable, and the original will always rule. But I'm kind of excited to see what they will do with the new stuff, and I always have this weakness for like cameos and stuff. So I will be a bit like, look, they're back in their old habits, and which is probably going to be really weird. Plus, they've got this amazing cast already, so I'm definitely, like, really, really excited to see what they're going to do with it.
Well, the other night, and again, Matt, by the way, I told Flash at the outset, I'm sorry about the screw-up with you the other night, the other day, brother. I forgot about the Left of Laughter, so I'm sorry about that, man. I mean,
no, you're fine.
It was just a makeup show on there, but they.
Yeah.
I was a little puzzled by their choice to talk about the topic with my retroblasting friends the other night. Lizzie was story leaks about episode 7
mm-hmm.
that had made it online, and we were.
Yeah.
They have free reign on the show and everything, whatever topic they want, if they want to talk about tiddlywinks, that's fine. But I was like. And again, it was a lot of fun, but I was like, I don't know. I mean, this is so early, the guy who put these leaks out there, everyone
yeah.
says he's always right. In other words, I say this guy's pretty credible. And I don't know, have you seen any of these, Lizzie, by the way?
No, not really.
Well, I'm not trying to spoil you. I mean, in other words, Matt and I give the same amount of fucks, so there's nothing that can spoil
yeah.
us anyway. But
yeah.
So I wouldn't want to do that too. But again, how is it technically spoiling if we don't know? No, it's not really spoiling.
Speculation,
anything.
Conjecture.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have to make that choice yourself.
It's really a dumb. If this is true, and put it to you like this, you know my prejudice against Jar Jar Abrams. It's dumb.
Yeah.
What we've read, it's dumb enough to be true. It's
But is there a revenge plot? That's how you know it's true.
Well, see, that's the thing. The guy's being vague, and the guy says he doesn't know any of that stuff. That's the thing. He's not talking so much plot. Of course, if it's Abrams, you know there's not going to be a plot. But I mean, he's talking about more like a few little elements of plot and things that happen.
Yeah.
And we talked about it in the show the other night. It's they find. Luke's hand with his lightsaber attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
The two kids,
yeah.
two young protagonists. And I'm like, wait a minute. They say it like the opening crawl. See, this is why I know it's Abrams and I want to believe the worst. But I think he might be because of what happened in the dumbness when everyone knew for years that he was full of crap that he was going to use Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was the worst, kept lying, the lie kept lying. It's not Khan. Yeah, we believe you, dude. Sure, whatever. And again, Matt and I talked about this before,
name
Lizzie.
All you want.
yeah, exactly. Lizzie, we were talking about this a lot. We're like, look, he cast. That's why he cast Cumberbatch, because of plausible deniability, because you kind of go, maybe he isn't, because that's a skinny British dude. Those even look like Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
But that,
yeah.
When the other actors, even though I don't like them, you know, they were cast to look at least somewhat, you know, like they did on the show. Oh, not exactly, obviously, but I mean, in other words, they weren't radical departures from the way they looked on the old shows, you know, and yet this was very radical of a departure. So you're going, maybe he isn't Khan, but it's still stupid because they're like, all right, yeah, dude, you're so lame with your lying. But maybe this is false flag stuff.
Yeah,
maybe it's a red herring. I almost have to believe it is because I'm going, all right, because some of this stuff, remember they came out and said, we are totally ignoring the expanded universe. Well, they're stealing from it, and some of it. So maybe they said that so they could cover their ass and just steal whatever the hell they wanted from it.
I know Michael Bay is a big fan of disinformation campaigns, so I wouldn't see why J.J. Abrams isn't either.
Yeah, you're right. So... I mean, the opening crawl, and then you see a friggin' hand in space, you know, holding a lightsaber, and it falls
like
down to a
bad 80s science fiction movie.
Yeah, it falls to the planet,
hand
and it doesn't burn up in the atmosphere.
Yes.
Melinda would have smacked me if we'd have been in the same area code when we talked about that, and she said, "Why doesn't the hand burn up in the atmosphere?" And I said, "Midichlorians." She said, "Oh God, you didn't." I don't know. Oh, it's so stupid.
J.J. Abrams,
I
don't know what science is.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, neither did Lucas, though, to be fair.
No.
And there's another thing. As dumb as the prequels are, I mean, really, could you really... I mean, is this going to be any different? I mean, are you going to go see it, though, Matthew? I mean, I've asked you a bunch before.
Probably not. I mean, I just...
Really?
I just can't, you know, I, I just can't get myself enough energy to just even care.
Yeah.
It's just kind of,
I hear you.
Yeah, you know.
I'm so with you. And it's really because of Abrams. It's not really just that. It's the prequels.
Yeah.
But I think, oh, man, I hate to say it, but I'm going. I know you're going, Lizzie. You're going, right?
She will.
Yeah. I
don't know.
Wow, you said you're almost on Matt's level of not caring. There are few of us.
I think I will probably most likely go because my dad will be going. My dad and my brother, maybe. And
okay.
they'll drag me along.
I got you. That's fair. You know, one of the things we were talking about, though, peripheral to that kind of, not so much plot stuff, is Mike and Melinda seem to be under the of the impression that it's a mistake to even put any of the old people in it at all, sort of like he did with Spock, except they're going to have bigger parts.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Matt? I mean, you think it's kind of silly, even though you don't care anyway, I'm just saying. Do you think it's kind of, because they're so old, leave them out?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, to a point, yeah. I mean, because... Yeah, I do. Yeah, because, like I've said before, I have this weird tick about seeing characters
old.
Yes, I have a problem with that. It's like this weird thing that I have. It's one of the reasons I don't really like the Trek movies. Because I just don't like seeing Kirk old. It just bugs me. It's the same thing with the Star Wars thing. It's like, I don't really have the thing in me to want to see Luke as an old man. It's like, kind of depressing. And Harrison's really old now, too. And not only is he old, he looks old. So it's like, don't really want to see it.
See, that's the big one for me. I can actually handle an old Luke because it's kind of an old Obi-Wan vibe going. There's at least some credibility to that, but do we really want to see an old Han Solo?
Yeah, exactly.
We want to see an old Indiana Jones, and we got it.
We got that. Sure did.
Yeah. So I'm kind of with that, but the thing is, we were saying that, and some people, friends in the chat room, one of our friends in chat was like, one of the things he was excited about was seeing them again, didn't care that they were old. And I'm like, we're seeing that a lot all over the place, so that's why they're being put in the movie, and they think it's just a cheap ploy to, and they're probably right. It is cheap.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like with Spock. Just like with Nimoy.
Old Spock.
And, yeah. So, look, hey, in 1982, I was 18 years old. I loved the Wrath of Khan, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought they looked pretty old. That was only like 12 years or so removed from the series.
Right.
But we were so used to constantly watching the TV show over and over again, Star Trek, that, I mean, they don't look too old now in retrospect when you watch Wrath of Khan. I mean, they still do. Compared to the TV show, they still do. But I'm just saying, because they do actually look pretty old in it. But at the time, when you're an 18-year-old kid and you're used to watching the TV show, and then you go, I mean, I love Wrath of Khan, but you're kind of like, wow, they're old.
Yeah.
If now I'm old. I'm the age they were, but I'm saying then I'm not, and I'm a kid. And again, we put up with it because we love the show, and I love Wrath of Khan. But it is kind of tougher. But it got tougher as time went along as well. But you know what? That was then. That was the '80s when people still put up with it. I think the only reason people put up with old characters in a relatively not necessarily action film, but some characters with something of an adventure, was that it was from them from the TV show. You know what I mean? In other words, they wouldn't have accepted those characters that much doing those things if they didn't have a history of them seeing them younger doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
But in 2014, kids do not want, I mean, younger audiences don't want to see that. They proved it in 2008, they didn't want to see, well, I mean, I guess it made money, but Crystal Skull and Crystal Numbskull. And I'm just... Although, you know, will that change with Doctor Who being old? Or just maybe it doesn't count with Doctor Who, does it? Well, Peter Capaldi. Will people buy him
Peter Capaldi
running around
can basically
stuff?
Do no wrong, so...
Of course. So you think because it's just Capaldi, people will put up with him running around doing all the kind of stuff that Matt Smith did? As far as action and all that. Yeah. Could be right.
Yeah, but from what I understood of the Doctor Who episode that was leaked, like I said, I didn't watch it, but from what we're saying about it, from what I understood was that Capaldi was almost playing him old. Not necessarily, I'm an old man, but he was playing him with almost an older spirit than Matt was. That was what I understood anyway. That's true.
I can't comment because I've seen it. I don't want to spoil you.
Okay.
It's killing me not to be able to talk to them, talk about that thing. What is today, the 23rd? We've got a month to go.
Yes.
If you get the chance, Lizzie, don't do it. Don't watch that.
No, I'm
that
not. I've held on this far. I'm not going to stop.
No.
Going to wait. Be patient.
Yeah. I was such an idiot because I guess if everybody else had watched it, I wouldn't care. I don't mind seeing it in black and white or without the CG. That wasn't it. It's just that, man, there's so much to talk about with this, and I know one person who's seen it, and I haven't even talked to him yet. So I'm like, wow. It's just, you can't go online. I mean, you could if you want to be a jerk. And just, hey, you know what? This episode, and I'm not going to do that. So I'm like, that was a dumb. You know, now I'm really pissed. I'm almost as pissed at that person as the BBC is, whoever leaked it.
Somebody said the second episode got leaked too, but then it got taken.
Really?
It was up for a second, then it was gone again. So I don't know. I don't know if that was true, though. It was just what I was told.
Yeah, and you said the scripts are too, right?
And the scripts were leaked. Yeah, I did. I did see those. I didn't read them, but I saw them.
Yeah, so, I've only heard about all the scripts being leaked. I haven't heard about like the episodes.
Yeah, it was just the first one, and it was. Yeah. It was a screener, and it wasn't even a, I don't know why it says screener on there. I thought it was some sort of work print.
Yeah, it was a work,
because again,
it was like a work print.
Yeah. It was in black and white, and it had no C, it was missing a lot of CG, but it had music.
Yeah.
So it was just weird. It was weird to see, and I'm like, man, look, dude, you're an idiot for watching that. I'm so mad at myself for that. So just waited 1 month. We can wait. Look how long we've waited. You know, it's always
long
a weird time. You know, it's always a weird thing, too, by the way, between when a doctor is announced, a new doc is announced, until you finally see him.
Yeah.
That's a weird time. It's funny. I remember every time you're seeing them for a year and you haven't seen them as the doc yet, except for like 2 seconds at the end of whatever, where they usually do it.
Yeah.
And so, let's say I remember between Tom Baker and Peter Davison, everyone was having a fit. He's too young. He's too young. Oh, my God, I hate him. Yeah, and by the way, I have a friend of mine to this day. He loves Tom Baker. He's now he'll watch some other doctors, but he hates Peter Davison so much that he considers him to be the devil.
Oh, wow.
Now, I love Davison.
Oh, because he replaced Tom?
Because he replaced Tom Baker. And he was a kid, and he's still, I mean, I actually know a few people who are, when you say Doctor Who, it begins and ends with Tom Baker.
Yeah.
And they will not accept anyone else.
Yeah.
Now, obviously the British understand Doctor Who, and so they're not like that about it, as far as I know, about anyone. They might have a favorite doc, but they understand that the show changes. In America, it started as Tom, and there to this day, I cannot tell you how many people that when I've talked to, and they've been like, yeah, Doctor Who, yeah, Tom Baker. And I said, yeah, but there have been other ones. No, I'm not going to watch any of them ever. Okay.
That's so...
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
is.
I get that. And I love, Tom Baker, my favorite, but I love them all. And the thing is, this friend who hates Davison, he finally, it was surprised me. He said he kind of watched Eccleston, and he liked him, and so he's giving the new ones a chance now. I guess he's watching them. And I said, well, good. Now, you know, and yet he never misses an opportunity to talk about how horrible Peter Davison is. And he never even watched him. He hates his guts.
God damn, Peter Davison!
Yeah, for replacing Tom. I was like, dude, Tom had to leave. I love Davison. But I mean, man, that's just awful. Did you see what Peter Davison said at a con recently? He was asked. You all know he is the father-in-law of David Tennant, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
someone
I saw
asked,
that. That was the best thing.
Oh, yeah. So,
so
it was great.
Funny.
Someone asked him, what was the strangest thing a fan ever gave you or something? And he said, a grandchild.
I'm sorry, but
that
just perfect? Hilarious.
Oh, it's brilliant.
So funny.
And by the way, you British are luckier than us. They're coming out with an Uber edition of the 50th anniversary with all kinds of stuff on it. We're not getting that, are we?
We're not?
It looked like it's just UK. Maybe we are, but look, there's a limited edition. It's got, it's even got the Five-ish Doctors, an Adventure in Space and Time, and all kind. I mean, it's got, it's loaded. And it looked like a limited edition. It said only UK, from what I understand.
Oh wow,
that cannot happen. Damn it. And you better do something about it, Lizzie.
Well, or, you know, what do you want me to do?
I don't know. You're British.
Like, buy
do
you
something.
6,000
copies. Write a letter.
Yes. Yes. Fly us a copy. But it's going to be expensive, though. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be so
do
expensive.
Do like on Monty Python. I will write a very stern letter to all of you. Yes, sir. I would like to write a complaint about that last sketch for you. The BBC. I don't know. I don't know what would happen. But you know what? Look, hey, Doctor Who's coming back. Guardians of the Galaxy is about to come out.
Yes.
You, Matthew. Other than that, look, I don't watch it. I've been binge-watching Buffy. And that's all everyone. By the way, did you ever watch Buffy, Lizzie?
Of course I did. I have all seven seasons.
Okay. Oh, well, fine. Yeah, because there's no one ever really to talk about Buffy about either. I had a wonderful, lovely young lady on recently where we talked about Buffy and Angel and stuff. And if you have all the seasons, are you pretty? Is it pretty fresh in your memory then?
Sort of.
How's it been? Because it's the weirdest thing. Have you ever watched a show, either one of you watched a show, and then went like 10 years or so not watching it? You know you liked it, you just for whatever reason you never watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm here to
tell
you, one of the good things about having a memory, and Matt has seen first class how spectacularly horrible my memory is, is that I had not, I loved Buffy, but I had not watched it in about 10 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And thanks to the wonder of Netflix, I've just started watching it, and I'm you know, binge-watching, and I've just burned through the first four seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you go back, you ever, you know, I think, Matt, you talk about nostalgia sometimes. Sometimes when you go back and watch something, it doesn't quite hold up. This one, I'm liking it even better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving it. I've forgotten just how great that show was.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it truly is brilliant. I mean, obviously, Lizzie, you were a fan of it. I was going to ask you, I have a lot of problems with this.
Sorry, I just think it sounds funny because Matt sounds really unimpressed. He's like, yeah, okay, fine.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I do that to him all the time. Yeah, but it was a great show. Again, Matt would be, if Matt had watched it, he would be fun to talk to about with it, though. So.
Yeah.
I can almost hear Matt, you know, if he were a Buffy fan. I'm gonna project something. I'm gonna
some
take
alternate
an episode.
Universe.
Yeah, an episode. Because Matt's seen Firefly, so I mean, he's seen something with. I'd say, man, that was a great episode. And I could hear Matt going, "God, I hated that one. That was the worst one ever."
Mm-hmm.
And maybe vice versa too, because you never know what someone's gonna like. And there might be an episode where Matt's done it on Star Trek. Matt hates The Trouble with Tribbles.
Oh, God.
Right? Don't you?
I do. Very much.
It's not my favorite or anything, but I mean,
yeah.
I've talked, that's two people I know that really hate it with a passion. Yeah, so.
Something about it just burns people the wrong way.
It does. You never tried to get him to watch Buffy, Lizzie?
Sorry, what?
You never tried to get Matt to watch Buffy?
I think I mentioned it once, and he shot me down completely, so I am...
I remember my friend Maria tried to get me to watch it, and she said, you should watch Buffy. And I said, why? And she goes, because it's this show, and actually she told me about it. I'd heard of it, but I didn't actually even know what it was. I'm like, I have no idea what it is. I know it exists, and I know it's a show, but I have no clue what it is. So she's like, oh, it's about a vampire hunter who's in a high school, and she got that far and went, okay, stop. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for
you
this.
Did you know it was based on a movie from 1993?
Yeah.
No,
that's,
I've never even heard of the movie.
That's
you've heard of the movie, or you never heard of it?
No, I never. I didn't know that.
Christy Swanson.
Yeah.
And Whedon wrote it, and he hated what they did with it. It was pretty bad. And the funny thing about it is Matt, it's the dumbest. I talk about this with a lot of people. It's the dumbest title for a TV show if you think of it. It's called, just and the movie too. It's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I used to go to this comic shop back when the first or second seasons were airing, and I go in the comic shop to get my comics every Wednesday, and my friends were all talking about this show. They were this, and I said, one day I said, "What the fuck are you all talking about?" And they said, "Buffy." I'm like, and you know, I'd heard of it vaguely. I'm like, "Ugh, that stupid movie with Kristen Bell." Yeah, what the hell? No, it's a TV show. Is it a TV show or that? I was like, "Jesus Christ, ugh, that's so stupid." That's what I said. So for years, you know, I would have to hear their crap talking about, you know, oh man, they're all going nuts over. What is wrong with you? What are you guys absolutely out of your mind watching that something with a dumb title like that? It just sounds so stupid. I can't even get behind it. No, you need to watch it. Screw the title. Ah, shut up. And finally, a friend of mine strong-armed me into it. And, you know, he was right. It was brilliant, for at least I think for me, the first five seasons. But the thing is, someone asked Whedon about that one time. The kind of syndrome that I was, that I'm telling you, they said, you know, you got to admit, it's called Buffy the Vampire, dude, it's very popular. But most people are going to hear or that title, or they're going to see that title and go, wait a minute, it's about a teenage girl who kills vampires in school, and it's called Buffy the Vampire. No, it's a stupid, silly little teeny bopper show. No, and of course it's not. It's so much more than that. But people don't know that because he called it Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're kind of getting what, you know, you could kind of understand everyone going, eh. But he said, you know what? He said, let him go. Fine. I don't care. And that's a little obstinate on his part. Of course, it lasted 7 years, so he did something right. But you could kind of see, Lizzie, where people would go, this sounds... I mean, and that person who described it to you, Matthew, didn't even get it right. You know, it's far more involved than that. But my question to you is, and it's not really spoiler, is I was talking to somebody the other day who was a big fan of the show that I ran into, I forgot where it was. Anyway, and when I mentioned the second season, they said, oh, yeah, you got to wait till, like, the third season. You got to really stick it out the third season to get any good. And I was like, I've watched it just recently. I really liked it. In other words, people like to beat up on the first season. Am I the only one that liked the first season? Did you like it or did you hate it then at that point?
No, actually, I liked the first season a lot because... there was the whole, she had to kind of fill her shoes, you know, we had to establish the character that was Buffy, like, we had to, you know, like you said, it is a show that's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so you kind of do expect a bit of silliness in a way, and it did have its moments, but it also had a lot of seriousness, and I especially, one of my favorite things about the entire show is Anthony Head, without
brilliant.
A doubt. Yeah,
he's great.
And his relationship with Buffy, Giles' relationship with Buffy, is something quite extraordinary, actually.
Yes.
And something that I will, you know, kind of cherish for the rest of my life, because it was this really, really nice mentor relationship that evolved into a father-daughter relationship. And I have a weakness for those, you know that, Matt. I don't know, it was kind of... When Buffy... I guess it's like... It is the last episode, I guess, when she's supposed to be facing the Dark One or whatever his name is. I can't even remember anymore. Where we see her kind of taking the grown-up steps she's supposed to take, even though she's too young to actually do so when you think about it. I got this huge amount of... I felt so much respect for Whedon. For actually taking such a step and saying, "This is a girl. She's a kid. She has to act like an adult." And then actually, we see her later on, and she's kind of regressing. She's kind of stepping back and becoming more and more of a child every once in a while. And I thought it was really brave of him to do. and you really see that in the first season, so that's, yeah. I really like the first season.
Well, like in the beginning of the first season, I mean, this is a woman, I mean, this is a 16-year-old kid who has the weight of the world on her shoulders, and she even, when he's mm-hmm. all over her, you know, it's almost the end of the world, this world menace thing, and he's just going all over her and stuff like that, and then she kind of said, I'm only 16 years old. And then he hit him. He didn't even think about that because she's the Slayer. Basically, Matt, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is Spider-Man. The show is Spider-Man. She's Peter Parker. I mean, Whedon loves Spider-Man. He loves superheroes. This was his way of doing a Spider-Man TV show, and the character is that. And she really is, pretty much has Spider-Man's life. I mean, all this power and all this responsibility, and their life's in the crapper because of it, and she can't stop using her powers for good. And, the whole thing with living on the Hellmouth and everything means she can never have any kind of a life. And, again, it kind of culminated in that first season when she said, I'm only 16 years old, and she's about what? And for to have that much of the weight of the world put on a 16-year-old, that what did make the show fascinating from that respect. And it gets so deep. There's so many depths and levels to that show, and yet it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's crazy. Yeah. Which is, it's insane that such an amazing show has a title like that. But he said, hey, you know, let him go. But it really is. He's talked about it, and others have said, wow. You may as well just call her. He loves Kitty Pryde, but he loves Spider-Man, I guess. You may as well just flat call the show Spider-Man or Spider-Girl, obviously. And it's just amazing. So, and it gave us the CW and the WB and all the other kid shows.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's nothing like any of them. So, you know, what can you do? Well, anyway, I'm glad you like it, Lizzie. Like I say, I've been binge-watching it now. I'm up to the fifth season, kind of dreading getting the numbers to season 7, but I'm going to watch it again and see if I have as many problems as I did last time. So 7, ooh, boy. Some shows
will say
do go
7,
on.
7 definitely has its problems. But
So, and then Angel ended too quick, too. Oh, well. Well, I tell you what, my friends, I cannot thank you enough for hanging with me here tonight. Sorry I kept you so late there, Lizzie, but it was just cool to get to talk to you again.
Well, it's fine.
I keep forgetting how late it is over there for you.
Yeah. Well, now it's not late. Now it's just really early.
It's early. Oh, my God. It's all Matt's fault, by the way.
It is, actually.
Matt, you're insensitive that way. Well, Matthew, you are that, but aren't we all?
Hopefully.
Well, Matthew, if you're up for hanging out and even, you know, riding shotgun, if you want with the Super Team Family show Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Again, love to have you, my brother. So if you're welcome to hang, you know, to call in and hang with us. Really, love to have you there, and it'll be fun if you got any questions for Ross.
I'm a huge fan of that Super Team family blog. I love that stuff. And of course, as you know, he's done some awesome stuff with my favorite character of all time, Booster Gold, which I'll have to commend him on.
Yeah,
so I'll definitely be there.
You can even make some requests. You know,
I'll make some Booster Gold requests. Yeah,
Booster Gold and Dazzler. Yeah,
I'd like to request Booster Gold and Dazzler and an issue where Booster Gold beats up Guy Gardner.
Oh, my, then I can send it to James.
There you go.
If he does that, I will send that to James. I would like to see
Booster Gold and Dazzle. Actually, I remember one time I almost went to a con with a girl who she was going to be Dazzle and I was going to be Booster Gold. I remember that very distinctly.
Wow. That's not bad. Yeah. There you go. That'd be a cool costume.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, my friends, hey, can't wait to see you Tuesday night. And Lizzie, hey, let's do a show again. Or just come hang with us on Gopa Geek when you get a chance, of course, also. But we need to do some kind of show thing, some like a special show.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it so much. Thank you both. And I will see you all next time on Globberin' Time. Thanks to the great Flash. You had to run out early like a big sissy. Call him a sissy.
Girl boy.
A girly man, yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, thanks a lot, my friends. I appreciate it, and I will talk to you all next time.
All right, thanks,
absolutely,
brother.
Absolutely. Bye.
Later, Gators. Good night, everyone. Thank you for listening out there on the archive.